till November 18th. All right, so what happens then? Well, possibly another Republican versus Democrat standoff.
The FBI busted a guy they think was planning to use model airplanes to bomb the Pentagon. CNN's Brian Todd tells us about the alleged plot.
Federal authorities have arrested a 26-year-old man from Ashland, Massachusetts. His name, Rezwan Firdaus. In an affidavit, U.S. officials say Firdaus started his plot last year by buying cell phones, modifying them to act as electrical switches for IEDs, then giving them to people he believed were members of Al-Qaeda.
Retiring Joint Chiefs Chairman Admiral Mike Mullen says he believes elements of Pakistan's spy service are working with the Haqqani network to launch attacks against U.S. forces in Afghanistan. The White House is distancing itself from Mullen's comment, but Mullen repeated it on CNN's Fareed Zakaria GPS. There are dozens of top-secret pictures of Osama bin Laden taken during and after the raid that killed him. CNN's Lisa Sylvester talks about whether we'll get to see those pictures.
Several news organizations have filed Freedom of Information Act requests seeking access to the pictures, and Judicial Watch has until October 24th to file its response to the government's motion to dismiss the case. We expect a ruling sometime within the next 2 months.
Two paramedics who responded to a call for help at Michael Jackson's house will testify at Dr. Conrad Murray's manslaughter trial today. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Whether you're making improvements around the house or in the yard, Lowe's has savings to help get the job done. Come in today and get free Stainmaster carpet installation with the purchase of Stainmaster carpet and Stainmaster carpet pad. Then, find savings to help keep your lawn and garden beautiful. Right now, get a $15 instant savings when you spend $60 or more on Scott's Miracle-Gro, Ortho, or Roundup products. Lowe's. Never stop improving. Offers valid through 10-10-11. Some restrictions apply. See store for details.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
Why, you?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
Just what exactly is an American car? It's a complicated question. The midsize Camry sedan from Japan's Toyota is made in America. The Fusion midsize sedan from Ford is made in Mexico. But Ford may be about to change that. A report says the United Auto Workers and Ford are negotiating over a new collective bargaining agreement. And as that happens, the company may shift production of the Fusion to the U.S. That could mean 10,000 new American jobs. It's nothing new that the economy is struggling to grow even barely, but economists now think our economic growth might be at least a sliver better than previously thought. An hour before this morning's opening bell on Wall Street, the government releases its final estimate of second quarter gross domestic product. It's expected to be up 1.2% versus the earlier prediction of 1% flat. May we snap back today from yesterday's Wall Street sell-off? It's looking like a possibility. S&P futures up 9, NASDAQ futures up 21. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
There it is! Let's follow it and see where it goes.
A new kind of broadband company is here. We're CenturyLink, linking Americans coast to coast to what matters. Our consistently fast speeds save you from interruptions and slowdowns, and since we're locally operated, you'll be met by honest personal service. We're committed to providing a better experience with 5-year price guarantees and more ways to customize your technology.
I think it's headed across the country.
CenturyLink, your link to what's next. Find out more at CenturyLink.com.
Oh, give me freedom.
So you're starting a business with no customers and no employees, you're paying a landlord and an accountant even though you have no sales, and you'll be working 18 hours a day. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, I am.
Small business owners survive on confidence. And because Constant Contact has helped so many small businesses grow, we share that confidence. Starting at just $15 a month, you'll get powerful email marketing tools, a personal coach to help you every step of the way, even a money-back guarantee. Start today at ConstantContact.com.
The Home Depot's made a special buy on EcoSmart LED A19 bulbs, just $9.97 each. That's $6 less than the regular price. And they last up to 46 years longer than regular bulbs. So you save when you buy them and save decade after decade when you use them, making your home and your wallet greener. thanks to EcoSmart LED bulbs for just $9.97. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through November 13, U.S. only.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We won't just sell you a few cans of oil. Oh, no. We'll sell you a 5-plus quarts jug of Valvoline conventional motor oil and a Purelator classic oil filter. All for just $13.99 after $7 mail-in rebate. Think licking a stamp isn't worth $7? Well, go have another Chablis on your private yacht, money pants. Service is our best part. Advance Auto
Parts. The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you.
Then they say you're mad.
Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to First Shift on this Thursday morning. And we have a pretty great show planned for you today. I got to tell you, I'm about at my wit's end with state government. I'm certainly at my wit's end with the Republicans that control the governor's office, the state house, and the state senate. And we're going to work through some issues this morning that I find beyond unpalatable. I find unconscionable. And we're going to get to that this morning. Attorney Richard Bernstein will be rejoining us. He was with us a few months back. A couple law cases that he's working on. Of course, he focuses on disability issues, and we'll look forward to having Richard on the show in the 7 o'clock hour. In the 8 o'clock hour, David Holtz will be with us from Progress, Michigan, and a really tough show for him today, and you'll find out why at 8:06. So you'll want to stay tuned to all of that. But before we get going with all the stuff we got to get going, it's time for...
Before you punch in for your first shift... Here is the first word with Tony.
Well, the first word this morning is perspective. From where I'm standing, I don't like what I see. And what am I going to do about it? That's really the question. What are you going to do about it? After all, perspective, it is a point of view. It is all things and lots of things. It is one of those, you know, opportunities. That was yesterday's word, wasn't it? It's one of those opportunities, perspective. You know, maybe sometimes, and I've done this actually, I'll sit somewhere else in my office or take a different drive into or from work. Perspective. It is about what you take in and then how you process it and what you do with it. But from where I'm sitting and what I see, my perspective tells me that the job that we need to do moving forward, beginning this very second and the second after this and so on, needs to be about purpose, and we are going to need an army of people to purposefully get through what we need to get through. Perspective, folks. It is it is the basis on which all things are done. Perspective is our first word. Good morning to everybody. I had a great night last night. Talk about that in a little while. I spoke out in Warren to a very passionate group of activists. For those of you, and Jeff, I don't know, good morning to you, by the way. How you doing this morning?
Hanging in there.
Did you get a nap yesterday? Because last time we talked, you were going to try to lay down for a little while.
No, nope, definitely not.
I'm sorry.
It rained, though. That's nice.
That's not a consolation for not getting that nap, though.
No, and I just got some bad news, but I'll let you, I'll come back to me with this because it's just disturbing. That's not that disturbing. It's, you know, it's just a Sprint and the iPhone and just terrible.
Wait a minute. Are you not going to be able to make the switch on October 1?
October 4th is when they're going to do their announcement, and then right. October 7th, Sprint is going to make an announcement that because they're going to start carrying the iPhone, they're going to get rid of their unlimited data plans because they want to screw you for using the internet on your phone. So, wonderful.
So you're damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Well, it's like, yeah, I'm almost like, just don't carry the iPhone then. Go back to your unlimited data plans. To charge for data usage is just outstanding.
Well, but you know, you got to wonder if Sprint's doing that, how long before AT&T and Verizon and everybody else follow suit?
Well, they've already done it, yeah. I mean, Sprint, I think, is one of the only ones that kept their unlimited data.
Well, we have an unlimited data plan.
Do you?
Yeah.
I would.
Through Verizon. No, I mean, I may be grandfathered in, and it's, you know, because we're at the beginning of a 2-year contract. So, it's a contract. So, you know, they can't break their contract with us.
Right. Well, at the end of your 2 years, you're going to have to start. I think they're all going to move to tier systems where you move up a little bit. And again, you know, it's not like you can monitor usage. You can, but
you
can't.
Oh, you can.
I mean, yeah, but it's like if you're on a phone call, you can say, okay, I've been on the phone call for 15 minutes. If you're doing data, like maybe you are visiting a website and they want to load up all these pictures that you don't want to see. Or, you know, maybe it's having a hard time getting to the date. I don't know. There's a bunch of stuff that you could just, at the end of the day, you could get your bill and be like, whoa, you know, I checked one thing on my internet and now all of a sudden I'm getting a huge bill.
Well, with your iPhone, you can actually check after every usage to see where you're at, by the way.
I just can't imagine, like, I'm going to, in the middle of the month, I'm going to be like, oh, well, can't use the internet anymore on my phone.
Well, listen, wait a minute now. It wasn't that long ago that we were doing that with minutes. Remember, before we had unlimited minutes, you know, you would have X amount, let's just say, to keep it simple, 200 minutes, and you would be checking that. I remember those days.
That's the caveman days, Tony.
I understand that, but it sounds like we're reverting back to
that. That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm not. Let's be more civilized, Sprint. Stay with your unlimited data plans and bring the iPhone.
So the reality is you were really looking forward to getting the iPhone, which I have, which I enjoy, which is very functional and practical, by the way. I mean, especially for what we do, it's real convenient. And now you're going to have to rethink that, right?
I am. I'm going to rethink it. I mean, obviously, I still want the iPhone, but just it's terrible. Right now, I can just, you know, I guess they're going to end up getting me anyway if I stick with what I got. I can't stick with what I got, by the way. The phone I got is just terrible.
Okay.
It just randomly shuts itself off.
Yes, I know. Yesterday, we're on the phone, and he says, hold on, I can't go any further than the cord because the phone doesn't work unless it's plugged in.
Yeah, I'm back to the, like, 1980s where I have to be tethered to the wall before we had cell phones. I mean, I don't know. A lot of people don't remember those days anymore.
You listen to us complaining about what we're complaining about. Yeah, well, I mean, in the bigger picture, of course, and I'm putting it all in perspective, it's certainly not the end of the world, but I understand your disappointment. I'm not going to, you know, make light of that.
If I, you know what should happen is if I switch phone companies, I should get a large severance package for moving on.
We're going to get to that. We're not quite ready to go there, but we're definitely going to get 200,000. Sound good?
That's about right.
Okay. You know, did you negotiate that up front? Because that's the critical part. I mean, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Listen, and I want to make sure I frame this in the right way, Jeff, in case you have not heard. The bid to recall Governor Rick Snyder is officially over. The recall effort has failed. They did not collect enough signatures and will not collect enough signatures to put the issue back to the voters. And it is what it is. I don't necessarily see this as a failure per se, because lots of good things have come as a result of a lot of very committed people coming together in the name of democracy to try to undo the damage that has been done by a Rick Snyder governorship. That they weren't able to collect enough signatures really, to me, isn't the relevant point at this juncture. I hope that, and part of this meeting I went to last night, I was supposed to speak, but it was more a meeting than it was a speech, to be honest with you. Some amazing people. We've actually agreed to meet on a monthly basis and see if we can't grow a movement is what we're going to try to do. So there's this collective good that's going on out there. We need to try to tap into that because there are a lot of very committed people. But the recall is over, Jeff. It will not happen.
That's how it happens sometimes.
Yeah, it is. Well, it is how it happens because it is how it happened this time. And again, I don't want people to get all bummed out about it because certainly we need to thank everybody that worked as hard. And there are people, I mean, I know a lot of people that worked really, really hard on this recall. Do not see your efforts as a failing effort. That would be the wrong thing to do. If nothing else, again, if nothing else, you were an important part of bringing together thousands upon thousands of Michiganders who were working toward a common goal, a common good, And how can that be bad? How can that be wrong?
And raised awareness, because now it's not, people are going to pay attention to see what else you can add to the list of things that Snyder does that doesn't sit well with you.
And not only that, the legislature, and we can take that collective energy, Jeff, and maybe really make a difference. You know, we still have PA4, the emergency manager bill. That question is still out there, although I understand they're very close to having the signatures they need to put that on the ballot in November. Or actually, I think that might even be February. I'm not sure about that, but they're close to getting the signatures they need, so that is a victory. And then, of course, we know we've got the Paul Scott recall in the Genesee County area, which is a positive. So there are a lot of good things that have come of this, and again, I don't want people to lose perspective on that. You know, we could sit back and play Monday morning quarterback. They should have done this, could have done that. And all that would be true. All that stuff would be true. But it doesn't matter. It didn't happen. It's not going to happen. But that doesn't mean we can't try to now find a way to harness that energy as a group of committed progressives and see what we can't do to utilize that in a good way. And, again, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But, you know, and which ties in nicely to the group that I spoke to in Warren last night. This really cool little cafe, by the way, Jeff, a little coffee shop. They had these muffins that were $1.50. I didn't have one, but I thought of you immediately. They were the size of softballs for $1.50.
Wow, that's nothing like the muffins that John Stewart and Bill O'Reilly had last
night. No, the $16 muffins.
I am all about food, so I'm glad that you see a large muffin and you think, boy, Jeff could probably eat that.
You know, you and I have been together 5 months now, and I will be somewhere, or I'll go out to dinner, I'll have a good meal, and the first thing that'll pop into my mind is, Jeff would have enjoyed that. Jeff would really like that.
Food. I'm glad that's what food reminds you of.
It's kind of like, I guess you're part of my my extended family now, because that with my children as well.
I just thought about you then, because today is National Coffee Day. Did you know that?
No, but God bless America.
You drink a lot of coffee. It's actually 7-Eleven is giving away free medium cup of coffee, cappuccino or lattes, and Krispy Kreme is doing it as well. So,
well, you know, maybe I'll have to swing by and get a free cup of coffee somewhere.
There you go.
I don't often do that. All right, we'll come back. The Detroit Tigers finished their season last night. We'll have Mr. Radford take a look into his crystal ball and see what he can see. But it's an exciting time. This is 1310 WDTW. Thanks for punching in this morning. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll take the break and be right back.
First Chip with Tony Truppiano.
I know stimulus is unpopular. If we had just done nothing and not spent any more money, as Representative Bachman is arguing, we would have had 16 or 17% unemployment in this country. I mean, we would have had a financial meltdown.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, maybe a shower this morning. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, a high near 66. Tonight, showers likely, possibly a thunderstorm. Cloudy, a low around 51. Tomorrow, the winds are really going to pick up. Showers are likely, cloudy, and the temperature is going to drop to the 40s by 3 o'clock. Yikes. Right now, it's foggy and 54 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift going up after this.
How do I know that Walgreens pharmacists recommend Walgreens brand health and wellness products? Because I do. I'm Jennifer, a Walgreens pharmacist. What's more, every purchase of a Walgreens brand health and wellness product helps bring preventive services to local communities through the Walgreens Way to Well Fund.
This week only, buy one Walgreens brand pain relief product, get one free. And every time you buy a Walgreens health and wellness product, Walgreens gives back through the Way to Well Fund. Walgreens, there's an everyday way to well. Products must be same price. Excludes PM and $5 multipacks.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Recently on First Shift,
County Circuit Court Judge Mark Slavens.
There was a young lady who I'd seen three times for 10 minutes apiece. And I get a report right before her hearing, and I'm reading through it. Now, this young lady has seen me for 10 minutes three times, and she says, all I want in the world is for Judge Slavens to adopt me.
Oh, wow, that just broke my heart, Mark.
First Shift with Tony Trion on 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back, 22 minutes after the hour. We'll remind you, if you want to connect with us, 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595, Tony at thetonyshow.org, and on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. We are going to go to the phones and welcome my friend Tom in Detroit to First Shift. Good morning to you, my friend.
And I stand next to a mountain, and I chop it down with the edge of my hat.
There you go. Good morning, my friend. You're like my wake-up call, Tom. You know, we got to make a habit out of this. You know, you're going to be the first call every day.
Okay. But, you know, what you were talking about, the recall effort, you know, yeah, it didn't work out. And to use that word, okay, it was a failure. But the bottom line is this. You people exercised their right, and they participated in democracy. To, you know, bring about this horrible change that has happened in Michigan since January. And, you know, it would have been tragic to, you know, sit there and second thought, you know, yourself to saying to the point, well, I wonder what would have happened if.
Right.
This way, we know what happened because, you know, you put your best foot forward. As James Ingram says, I tried my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough.
There you go.
But you know, it's not like failure. Okay, you actively participated in government, and you know, I would just advise those folks: don't feel bad about what you did. Feel good about what you did because you were trying to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem.
And that is an important point to make, Tom. And again, although the recall itself did not succeed, the people mm-hmm. that were engaged in the process did succeed in again, engaging in democracy. And we can't, you know, Tom, when was the last time you've been politically active a very long time? When was the last time you have seen so many, especially progressives or Democrats, engaged in the process as they are right now? It's been years.
Yes, it has been. It has been. And I mean, I was so proud, you know, when back in earlier this year, when, you know, people were up in Lansing, you know, rallying and that kind of thing, you know, showing those lawmakers that, listen, we're not going to stand for this. And I mean, some of them are going to feel the brunt of, you know, the people's frustration when the elections come around.
Yep, no question that's true. Well, again, unfortunately, the recall doesn't succeed. Now, Tom, you know, we need to harness that energy.
Yep.
Again, I was at a meeting last night. I'm going to talk about this in just a little while. But I was at a meeting last night, and I think that, you know, some good stuff comes of that. So, you know, and all in all, Tom, and first of all, let me thank you for the call. And secondly, okay, let's just see what we can do now moving forward. Now that we've got this this interest, we've got everybody's attention. How do we hold it? That'll be the question.
You know, the impressions say keep on pushing.
Absolutely. Keep on pushing. Thank you so much, Tom. As always, I appreciate your call on this early morning part of the show. Again, folks, if you care to join us, feel free to do it. 888-552-3595. Jeffrey Radford, we turn our attention now to our Detroit Tigers. The season is now over. 95 victories into the year. And right as we speak, the Tigers, I'm sure, are sleeping in New York City, you know, dreaming, of course, of wonderful things. Our Facebook First Shift poll question of the day is, by the way, Jeff, the Tigers ended their regular season last night as division winners. Will they win the first round of the playoffs against the New York Yankees? And the early results are, yes, they will. Jeff, you got that crystal ball out?
No.
You don't?
I mean, I can give you an answer.
Oh, come on. Don't give me. You're just giving me a hard time now.
I obviously always go with pitching, and I think I like the first three for the Tigers more than I like just one pitcher for the Yankees. So, yeah, I think they beat the Yankees.
All right. Anthony, got to bring Anthony into this conversation. He's a huge sports nut. You know, obviously we got pitching, hitting. You see the Tigers, I'm not saying easily handling the New York Yankees. It's the Yankees after all, and we are there. The first two games are there. How are you feeling about this series?
Oh, pretty confident.
Good.
That's it.
That's it. Pretty confident. Obviously that, you know, that one didn't fell a little too far from the tree. It's okay to use more than two words, son.
I wasn't ready.
That's fine. You'll often find that I go to you when you're not going to be ready, so just get used to it.
Sounds good.
And you know, I feel good. You know, first of all, Jeff and Anthony, let's take a look at a couple things here. Number one, we've got the best pitcher in baseball. We have the best hitter in the American League. There are no
questions. That's right, Fister and Cabrera. Oh, you were talking Justin Verlander.
Yeah.
Did you know
Fister
actually, was better?
I was going to just say, you know, Fister actually has a better record in over the last 8 weeks than Verlander does.
Yeah, so that's why I
better
threw it
stats.
Out there.
Well, either way, it works. And then, of course, we have the best reliever in Major League Baseball.
Phil Koch.
All right, how about closer?
Oh, yeah, Valverde.
I got to get real specific with you, do I?
Papa Grande.
You know, I read a column yesterday where it was one of the national guys and said that, you know, that the Papa Grande's defeat of, and what was it, 49 yesterday was his 49th save in the year? Is that right?
Yeah, something like that.
All right, that you know, that really doesn't count, quote-unquote, because, you know, he came in the ninth inning, and, you know, it's easy to be, you know, it's easy to do that. It's easy, you know, what he accomplished is pretty easy, you know.
Yeah, because it happens all the time, right?
I just thought it was kind of insulting, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. He's not even, I mean, you ask somebody who the best closer in baseball is right now, and he maybe enters the top five discussion. I'm talking nationally. I mean, around here, obviously, we all think he's done a fabulous job this year. But he's overlooked. I mean, you think Mariano Rivera and all these other guys. Everyone's blown a save. He hasn't blown one.
Not one. Literally not one. So
I don't know what it is. I think Detroit's some magic or something. Because remember when Fernando Rodney had a streak like that one year? He blew the last save of the year. But he had a streak of like 34 in a row.
Well, Todd Jones had a hell of a career as a closer in Detroit.
He had a few blown saves. I mean, but he got the job done more so than most closers.
Yes. I mean, that's the point, is that, you know, he's really, he did well. So, I don't know. I'm excited about Friday night. Tomorrow night at 8:30 is when the Tigers begin their quest for that championship ring.
So, they remind me a lot of last year's Giants, who won it all, obviously. Because you look at Lincecum, Verlander, you know, Kane, Fister, you go right straight down their pitching staff. It's a lot alike. But who's going to be their Cody Ross this year? Because Cody Ross carried the offense. I mean, a guy came out of nowhere and just had an unbelievable postseason. Who do you think is going to be their Cody Ross this year?
Jamie Samuelson yesterday in the Detroit Free Press said it's going to be our new third baseman.
Oh yeah,
yeah. He said that's going to be that'll be the surprise guy of the playoffs.
I think the pickup of Delman Young should pay off handsomely.
I would agree with you. If I had a vote, and I don't, well, I guess I do. It's my show. I would say Delman Young will be the key. And we saw that just this week alone, what he did this week alone. I don't know. I just feel really good about this ball club right now. And they're playing really well. And Miguel Cabrera batting almost 400 over the last 4 weeks.
Hey, did you see where Jose Reyes played for one at-bat just so he could win the batting average, and then he took himself out of the game?
No, I did not see that.
Yeah, that's kind of a punk move, I think.
All right, we'll come back and wrap this up. This conversation up, we've got a lot to get to. 888-552-3595, Tony Trupiano with you on this First Shift Thursday morning. You'll stay right where you're at. We'll be back.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. This traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. Got that accident to the left southbound after 9 miles, blocking the right lane. Not really causing a backup, but people are slowing down to get around it. I'm Russ with traffic.
Stop by McDonald's today and start collecting McCafe rewards points. Points are available on all medium and large hot McCafe and premium roast coffee cups. Collect 5 points and your 6th beverage is free. McCafe rewards, only available at McDonald's. I'm loving
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, well, that front and low finally exit the area, but that means bad things are going to happen. Mostly cloudy today, maybe a shower this morning, a high near 66 tonight. The rains come, showers likely, maybe a thunderstorm in there as well. Cloudy, a low around 51, and then tomorrow, showers likely, cloudy, and the temperature is going to drop into the 40s. By mid-afternoon, breezy winds out of the northwest as well. Right now it's foggy and 54 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. For millions of workers across America, family paychecks have declined or stagnated to such an extent that real median household income was lower in 2010 than it was in 1997, according to Census Bureau numbers. The AFL-CIO says it's time to end the failed economic experiment of lowering taxes on the rich, dismantling regulations on business, and following NAFTA-like global trade policies, because that has only led to an unequal economy that only works for the very richest Americans. American Federation of Teachers President Randy Weingarten says there's an urgent need for Congress to pass President Obama's American Jobs Act. With a record 46.2 million Americans in poverty, Weingarten says is a terrible impact on families, kids, and schools. Weingarten says that with families struggling to find jobs and to overcome economic hardship, schools can be a source of stability for families and communities and a place where students and their parents can get the services they need to have a chance at success. The AFT says nearly two-thirds of school staff across the country report they are regularly seeing kids having trouble in school because of hunger. So to end high joblessness and reduce poverty, the AFL-CIO says we need family-sustaining jobs, more investments in our futures, and fair taxation. Who would applaud a mass firing of workers? Jesse Russell lets us know.
When President Ronald Reagan made the decision to fire thousands of air traffic controllers in August of 1981 for continuing a strike, few saw it as a reason to celebrate. Tuesday night, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie gave a speech at Reagan Library and gave his recollection of the 1981 incident. And when he mentioned the mass firing by Reagan, the audience broke out in applause. The cheering comes at a time when the unemployment rate stands at 9% in the United States, and budget cuts by Republicans have resulted in more than 500,000 additional job losses for public sector employees.
Will the third time be the charm for R.J. Reynolds tobacco workers seeking union representation? A secret ballot vote will be held at two of the company's North Carolina plants to determine if workers want to be represented by the International Association of Machinists. The vote is expected at the end of October. This newscast made possible in part by the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising, a one-hour radio documentary produced by Workers Independent News in conjunction with WORT. Get your copy today at laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My favorite way to wake up in the morning is with Tony Truppiano. And first shift on 1310 WDTW. Now here's Tony.
And welcome back, 35 minutes after the hour. Just kind of clean up our little baseball talk here. You know, Jeff, I was not aware of that scenario that you shared with us right before the break. And, you know, there was actually, Miguel Cabrera comes up to bat, first two at bats yesterday, because he was, of course, fighting for the batting title. 0-for-2, ends up being 2-for-4 on the evening and wins the batting title. I have real issues with, cheating the system, I guess, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, well, it's not just, I mean, if you're going to play a game, then play the entire thing. He bunted in the first inning to get a base hit so that he could get on base, and then once he got the hit, he took himself out of the game.
Yeah.
If you're going to play the game, then play the entire game.
Right. I'm with you. It makes no sense. Well, the regular season is over. The postseason begins. I believe it was, is it Sports Illustrated that's picking the Tigers to win? I believe so.
Is it really?
Yeah. They said that they have the best, pitching staff, and they, you know, of course, they do everything statistically. And so basically, they broke down statistically what the Tigers have versus what everybody else has, and says that mostly because of Verlander and Valverde that they should win.
It scares me, though, when they pick, even right now, like ESPN has the rankings for the NFL, and they have the Lions number 4. It's like, I don't want you to say that my team is going to do well, because then it's almost like a curse, the SI curse.
Well, as only Jim Leland can do, he reminded everybody yesterday as he was trying to watch the Texas Rangers play we play these games for a reason, and rarely do the pundits get it right. So let's just figure out who we got to play on Friday and worry about Friday on Friday. And sure enough, that's the way it's going to be. But I'm just glad that we're in the postseason. Been a while, and it'll be good to see. It'll just be good to play the game. So they'll have two in New York, then they'll come back to Detroit. And this is the best of 3 out of 5 in this first round. Onward and upward. So we'll leave it there. But this is good stuff. Anyway, that's that. All right, what do we got? We got a lot going on. And let me first of all talk about last night I was invited by the Macomb County Recall Governor Rick Snyder Group. I don't know if they have a more official title than that. I'm sure they do. But, Jeff, they invited me last night to Tracy's Cafe, which is on 12 Mile and Hoover in Warren. Really nice crowd showed up. Quite a few listeners were there, by the way. Met some really wonderful people. But what was I give a speech and then we do a Q&A. It was kind of more like a meeting than it was a speech. And so what we decided, because I, obviously, you know, word got out yesterday, earlier in the day, that the recall wasn't going to move forward, we decided that we're going to try to meet on a regular basis, on a monthly basis, to see if we can grow a group of committed, passionate progressives that want to work on issues and keep each other engaged and somehow involved in the process of democracy. But Joe in East Point was there, Jeff.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's got a lovely voice.
The poet himself?
The poet himself. He's got a lovely voice. And he enhanced that meeting last night in ways I can't even begin to express. He spoke passionately and eloquently about his childhood, about the importance of democracy. He's ready to fight. He's ready to take up arms if need be, I assure you. Just an amazing guy. Met another guy by the name of Nick, who just a real gem. It was just a really interesting and engaging evening, and I walked out of there, as I always do, and you know how much I enjoy doing these anyway, Jeff. I just felt like, you know, this is exactly why we do the show. This is exactly why I show up at this stuff, because there are people that just feel like there's no leadership in the state right now. And, you know, the thing that I've got to be a little bit careful of, because, you know, we were talking about, okay, well, you know, we put this group together. Who's going to lead it? You know, what politician? And it can't be a politician. This has got to be grassroots. So somebody yelled, Tony Trupiano can lead it. I'm not so sure I'm the right guy for that job. But I'm just really thrilled that that turned out the way it turned out. Because, again, it wasn't as much a speech as it was a meeting. It was a communal gathering. We had a great dialogue. And, again, a lot of people showed up last night. It was really just an empowering kind of event. And you got to go to at least one of these with me. In fact, we're meeting next month, so I'd like you to consider coming next month, because the one thing we agreed on is that everybody would bring one person. So you could be my plus one.
Which event has the best food?
I don't know, because they're all different.
That's the one I'll go.
I know, but if they don't all revolve around food, I'm sorry.
I know, I'm just joking.
No, you're really not.
Well.
I mean, you might want to say that you are, but really, they have the big muffins.
I'm down then. Muffins I'm good with.
You know, I'm just saying. So put some thought into going with me next month.
You got it.
All right. You know, you don't have to commit right now, but...
Never mind then. And then I'll let you know later.
No, wow, you're easy. But this is another way of my telling those that are listening early in the morning, we are going to be meeting again next month, most likely at Tracy's Cafe in Warren, and I don't want to hear it's not close to you or you got to drive 30 minutes. So do I. Big deal. Get over it. Get over it. Not a big deal. So I'll get more details out as we have them, but we've agreed to continue to meet, and then we'll put some framework to whatever it is we decide this is going to be. Now, with that said, we get word yesterday that the Republican legislature and the Republican governor are doing their best, again, to continue to dismantle the state of Michigan as we know and love it. The governor has decided to close the Mound Correctional Facility as a result of his inability and his refusal to negotiate with UAW Local 6000 and the other affiliated unions of state and municipal workers, state workers. So as a result of them coming to an impasse on the 2012 budget, which, by the way, had already been agreed on, and so it wasn't open for negotiation, and because the negotiators refused to open up that contract, which they don't have to do, they already had a contract, the governor said, fine, we're going to lay off X amount of people, we're going to close the prison, and that'll save X amount of dollars. Well, it's just wrong. It's just wrong. Very quickly, let's listen to what's going to happen at the Mound Correctional Facility.
Here at home, it houses more than 1,000 inmates, but now it is set to close because of budget cuts. It's the Mound Correctional Facility, which opened in 1994 on Detroit's east side. Our Bora Kim is there. And Bora, what more have you learned?
Well, Ruth, many here had hoped that the closing of the Mound facility would be more or less a last resort, a contingency plan during very difficult budget cuts as well as union negotiations. However, today, the Department of Corrections director saying it had to be done. She moved to the neighborhood in 1959. Her home faces the Mound Correctional Facility. For that reason, Rita Martinkovich opposed its construction in 1994. Today, she is sad to hear it's slated for closure in January.
To me, it'll be more dangerous for me because there won't be any activity across the street.
I'm calling on the governor to take a closer look at this.
Senator Glenn Anderson opposes the closure and says he was blindsided by today's announcement. Hundreds of prison employees, he contends, have made concessions, working diligently to operate Mound as efficiently as possible. But citing a drop in prison population, the Department of Corrections feels the 1,000 prisoners can easily be transferred elsewhere. The majority of inmates, however, are from Metro Detroit. Mound is still considered one of the costliest prison facilities to run. Republican House Speaker Jace Balger saying, quote, "It is encouraging to see some tough decisions made today that were long overdue and put taxpayers first."
I hate to see it closed down because, you know, the people are going to lose their jobs. Where are they going to put all these correctional officers?
And speaking of correctional officers, 324 are employed at this facility, but it looks like the state is looking to cut some 2,000 jobs that way by privatizing one of the correctional facilities there in Woodmere, along with privatizing medical services. That's the latest here in Detroit.
And by the way, really bad reporting. I don't mean to be overly critical, but she obviously did no homework on this. According to a statement from State Representative John Alumba, a Democrat from Detroit, this is what he had to say. We extracted a direct, unequivocal commitment from the governor that the Mound Correctional Facility would not be closed. I had no qualms with respect to the assurance that the governor was a man of his word. However, let it be clear, this is the second promise the governor has broken, the first being that he would create jobs. This illustrates the administration's failure to live up to the promise of job creation. It also illuminates the partisan nature of this government because it is impossible to work together on a better Michigan, a better economy, and job creation when one side says one thing and does another. The Mound Correctional Facility provides hundreds of Michigan residents with good-paying jobs and serves to protect our communities nationwide or statewide. The closure is the governor's way of saving money by firing workers and endangering public safety. With the closing of this correctional facility and the privatization of prison services, the state is setting a dangerously low precedent on how committed the administration is to putting our residents back to work and keeping our citizens safe. We are now looking at the administration that has not only failed to create one job since elected, but has directly contributed to the rising unemployment by eliminating vital services the government is responsible for providing. It's time, folks, for a revolution. We got more on this story on the other side of this break, but we got to take the break. Les, you'll be up next. Stay with us. We'll be right back on First Shift.
First Shift with Tony Trivia.
So many of those who have made so much money recently produce very little wealth for others. They essentially pocket the money.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org, and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Recently on First Shift,
Steve Cooper with the We Party Patriots. How important do you think social media is to organize labor today?
Incredibly important. I think you're seeing galvanized movements globally, and it's taken hold, obviously, in the States as well. The thing with social media is that it has to be a necessary component because you know that the next guy is doing it, and if he's not yet doing it, he's going to be doing it, so you want to make sure you beat him to that punch.
So that hashtag #OneU, when I put that at the end of a tweet, What does that do with regard to getting my message out to more people?
Well, the hashtag, they essentially act as a kind of filing cabinet within Twitter. You can now follow a sort of stream of union consciousness. And the key to that happening is everybody knowing where to gather, essentially where to meet and talk about this. We're trying to provide that sort of unique voice to get more and more people involved.
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Triano. Now here's Tony.
And welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Before I get to the phones, again, the number 888-552-3595. They're also going to be privatizing services. So it's not just about closing a facility. It's about privatization, which is, again, what this all is about. It's about controlling more of the money. It's about lobbyists getting their way. And this is beginning to happen. And the governor is doing this under the guise of saving money. But what it really is about is, again, undermining unions and weakening the middle class here in the state of Michigan. That's exactly what this is about. It's an odd agenda, but it's one that they've seemed to embrace quite willingly. Let's go to the phones. Let's welcome Les to First Shift. Les, thanks for punching in this morning. Good morning to you. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good morning, fellow patriots. You know, every time it seems like just me, I don't know, I'm not what I call a conspiracy theorist, but it seems like Detroit is being bombarded every time we turn around. You know, these jobs are good, safe union jobs. And I don't know, Tom. Maybe you can help me out there. Maybe you can help me out. What's wrong with Detroit? What is wrong with Detroit that we get stepped on every time? Every time we turn around, every time it comes around, Detroit has been. I've been here for, I lived here all my life, all 58 years of my life. Didn't want to go anywhere else. But it seems like Detroit is under assault. Every moment from Lansing, we can't legislate for ourselves. We seem to be legislated from Detroit.
Well, I don't disagree. And I think, last to answer part of your question, I think that Mayor Dave Bing has some explaining to do. I think he needs to explain why he did not fight this. And if he did fight it, why isn't he being public about it? You know, why isn't go ahead. I'm sorry.
We don't have any leadership here. Well, we have not had good leadership for a long time to look out for the citizens of Detroit. We feel like we've been paying the highest taxes in the world here, you know, highest insurance in the world here, and we don't get no representation and no kind of compensation.
Well, again, I put some of this blame goes on Mayor Dave Bing. You're right. It is a lack of leadership. There's no question that that's true. I'm disgusted. I'm absolutely disgusted that this has happened. I'm disgusted that the governor lied to the lawmakers in the city of Detroit, and I'm disappointed in the mayor. I'm very disappointed in the mayor. 888-552-3595. Let's go to J.R. in Melvindale. J.R., welcome to First Shift. What's on your mind this morning, my friend?
Good morning, Tony.
Good morning.
I've enjoyed listening to you the past month or so. I get up every day, 5:30, 6 o'clock, and turn you on first thing. I'm going to make this quick. I keep hearing the word privatization being slung around in the national front and the local front and, you know, and the state front. I really would like to hear a lot more of the liberal talk show people start calling privatization what it actually is, and that's profitization.
But you're right. That is profitization.
Yes. What it's all about, it's about taking away what we pay our taxes for the common good of everybody, fire department, police department, schools, so on and so forth, and just turning it over to the fat cats so they can make a larger profit from it.
And that it is about, you know, and again, goes back to JR, what I've said from day one on this show, follow the money. You want the answer to something, follow the money.
Yep.
And you're 100% right. Privatization is profitization. It is about following the money. And we will find, you know, if people would actually pay attention, JR, they would find that once they, quote-unquote, privatize all this stuff, that it isn't no cheaper. It doesn't save us a dime. It just puts more money into the pockets of people that don't need more money. That's all it does.
That's right. So if you could just start
using those two words and drilling that into people's heads, maybe it'll start to finally sink in.
All right, profitization it is. I can go for that. JR, thank you so much for punching in this morning. Again, if you'd like to join us, feel free to do that. Bob joins us now from Clarkston. Bob, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Tony.
Good morning, my friend.
I wanted to punch in on this subject and see what your opinion was on our former governor, Jennifer Granholm, and the prisons that she closed. I know in 2007 she closed the Michigan, the Southern Michigan Correctional Facility there in Jackson. The reason behind that was to save the state $35 million. And then if I understand correctly, in 2009, I think she closed another three prisons and
you got to make your point for
minimum
me.
Security prison camps.
Make your point for me, Bob. I'm not connecting the dots.
Well, I'm asking the question. We're being awful critical here of Governor Schneider, and I'm not in favor of closing these prisons, to be honest. I wasn't in favor when Granholm did it, and I'm not in favor of this move here. I don't think we need fewer prisons, but I'm asking the question, if we're going to be critical of Schneider for reasons such as saving money, et cetera.
Yeah, but he's not doing this to save money. This is a political ploy because the state employee unions are in the middle of the negotiation, and they refused to reopen a contract that was already bargained. So he's punishing them by closing this prison under the guise that he needs to do it to balance the budget, which is not true. Not to mention, Bob, the fact that, and we're not comparing apples to apples, what Granholm did and what Snyder did are two different things. Governor Snyder promised the Detroit lawmakers he wouldn't close this prison. He turned around and did it anyway, number one. Number two, we already know that projected revenues, because this is supposedly about balancing the budget, Bob, and we know that by state constitution we have to have a balanced budget. It's not an option, okay? So
right.
It's not like we can do overruns. I get that. We're already showing that we're at least $200 million in the black that we didn't expect to have, and we're not even halfway through, you know, this fiscal period. So I think the governor is overreaching and overreacting, Bob. It'd be different.
Okay.
That's the only thing I'm saying. He doesn't need to close this prison to balance the budget is what I'm saying.
Well, it seems like we have two sets of values here, two sets of things that we work off of, and Granholm gets a pass.
No,
Tony,
she's
closing
not,
those prisons,
she,
if you get rid
she,
of everything else that involves, it meant putting more prisoners out on the streets earlier than they're supposed to.
And I get that. And Bob, here's the insanity of that. And I don't know if you remember at the time, but they were looking at this as some kind of national model. What she was doing is some kind of national model. I thought that was insane what she was doing.
I did too. Yeah, and that's what I say. I think it's insane there. I think it's insane with what Snyder's doing, at least as I understand it. It's not something I'm in favor of. Let's open more prisons. You break the law, let's put you in there and lock you up for a long time.
Well, you and I aren't going to disagree on that. Bob, thanks so much for your call. We're just about out of time in this hour. But folks, we can come back to this issue. You know, at 7:35, by the way, we're going to talk, and I want to make sure that I get this in. Tarika Mullen, who is taking over as the CEO of the airport, a lot of controversy yesterday. Started on the Facebook page, I don't know, early afternoon when somebody posted it there, and it really steamrolled as we worked our way through the day yesterday. So we're going to get to that at 7:35. You're going to want to stay tuned for that. Let's take a quick break here. Richard Bernstein from the infamous Bernstein Law Firm. When we come back, Russ will be with us for traffic and weather. CNN with headline news at the top of the hour. I'm Tony Trupiano. A quick break here. Thank you for joining us on this Thursday morning. We'll be back right after we do this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at some delays on northbound 75 from around 9 mile up to 11 mile because the right lane is closed at 11 mile because of fuel spill there on northbound 75. 75 southbound after 7 mile. We have an accident there on the shoulder. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, maybe some showers early, mostly cloudy otherwise. A high near 66. Tonight, showers, maybe a thunderstorm in there. A low in the lower 50s. Breezy winds out of the southwest as well. Tomorrow, showers are likely, but then the temperature is going to drop to around 48 degrees by 3 p.m. Breezy winds in the northwest as well. Right now it's foggy and 54 at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift going up after the top of the hour.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit. Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Top story this hour, a 26-year-old man from Massachusetts is charged in an alleged plot to use model airplanes to bomb the Pentagon. CNN's Brian Todd says a document shows the suspect apparently wanted to give the planes to people he believed belonged to Al-Qaeda.
He hoped they would be used to kill U.S. soldiers overseas, according to that document. But the people he was giving this equipment to were really undercover agents from the FBI. Authorities say he then expanded his plot to use these devices, model planes. They say he planned to use them like drones, operated by remote control, filled with explosives, guided by GPS.
The House is expected to vote on a bill today to temporarily avoid a government shutdown. It only funds the government through Tuesday, so Congress will have to do this all over again next week. Only parts of a tough new immigration law in Alabama will go into effect after a ruling by a federal judge. Governor Robert Bentley says states are passing these laws because the federal government isn't doing anything about it.
It would not have been necessary to address this problem if the federal government would have done its job and enforced the laws dealing with this problem. However, they have failed to do that.
An SAT cheating scandal in Long Island, New York might extend to other schools. A suspect is accused of taking the test for six different students. Nassau County District Attorney Kathleen Rice says the punishment for these students should be severe.
We need to protect the honest student. They should not be on the second rung of the ladder behind the cheater.
The Cardinals and Rays are celebrating after clinching baseball's last two playoff spots on the final day of the regular season. Both overcame huge deficits in September to pass the Braves and the Red Sox. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Ultimate football fans, rejoice. Score a new TV at Sears. With top brands and our price match guarantee, if you find a better price, challenge the call and we'll match it. Plus, give you 10% of the difference. After further review, awesome.
Come into Sears to get an LG 47-inch 3D HD TV, a 3D Blu-ray player, plus four pairs of 3D glasses, all for just $999.99. Perfect for everyday use with the added excitement of 3D.
It's the ultimate football experience, only at Sears.
See store for price match policy and offer details. Prices may vary, no less than Y. Sale ends 10-1.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just sell batteries, we'll test them fast and free on most vehicles. If the best way to test your battery was to place our tongues directly on your old battery, we'd do it. But we have a machine that's far more accurate. Need a new battery? We'll install it free with purchase using our hands. No machine can replace those. Service is our best part. Advance Auto Parts.
The death toll, which stands at 13 from that listeria outbreak linked to cantaloupes, is prompting a strong reaction from a big produce seller. Costco Wholesale is publicly urging greater safety measures from fruit and vegetable growers. The company says it will consider setting standards for how melons are grown, then cleaned and handled after they are picked. It most likely would require suppliers to test melons for pathogens before shipping them to Costco. The Fusion sedan, a hot seller for Ford, might be coming to the U.S. Right now, it's built in Mexico. A report says the company is considering a production move north of the border, which would be part of as many as 10,000 new American jobs at Ford. This as the company negotiates a new collective bargaining agreement with the Auto Workers Union. Most global markets are up almost 1%, and U.S. stock futures are finding themselves higher by similar measure. S&P futures up 11 points right now, NASDAQ futures up 22, Dow futures gaining 87. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
There it is! Let's follow it and see where it goes.
A new kind of broadband company is here. We're CenturyLink, linking Americans coast to coast to what matters. Our consistently fast speeds save you from interruptions and slowdowns, and since we're locally operated, you'll be met by honest personal service. We're committed to providing a better experience with five-year price guarantees and more ways to customize your technology.
I think it's headed across the country.
CenturyLink, your link to what's next. Find out more at CenturyLink.com.
Oh, give me freedom.
So you're starting a business with no customers and no employees. You're paying a landlord and an accountant even though you have no sales, and you'll be working 18 hours a day. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, I am.
Small business owners survive on confidence. And because Constant Contact has helped so many small businesses grow, we share that confidence. Starting at just $15 a month, you'll get powerful email marketing tools, a personal coach to help you every step of the way, even a money-back guarantee. Start today at ConstantContact.com.
Whether you're making improvements around the house or in the yard, Lowe's has savings to help get the job done. Come in today and get free Stainmaster carpet installation with the purchase of Stainmaster carpet and Stainmaster carpet pad. Then find savings to help keep your lawn and garden beautiful. Right now, get a $15 instant savings when you spend $60 or more on Scott's Miracle-Gro, Ortho, or Roundup products. Lowe's. Never stop improving. Offers valid through 10-10-11. Some restrictions apply. See store for details.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
Change mandates vision. Vision mandates intelligence. Intelligence mandates thought, and thought demands attention. As we look for leadership that demonstrates courage and conscience, we ask the deliberate question that provides the path to truth. And that question is, are you ready for change? And if you are you ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano?
And that is the question of the morning. I think you're all ready. I think we've properly prepared you. That is my obligation. And I take it seriously. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the second hour of our three-hour First Shift program on this Thursday morning. I want to remind you, at the bottom of the hour, 7:35, we will be talking about the new airport CEO, Tarika Mullen, and the controversy that is swirling around her parachute and her contract that allowed her to be paid $200,000 to leave a job to go into a better-paying job within the county. And a lot of the controversy that's surrounding that, some of it she is creating by her response or defense, if you will, to her contract. But we'll get to all that at the bottom of the hour. But before we do that, one of my favorite people, I just, you know what, if we didn't have anything to talk about, but just say good morning and chat with each other, I'd love to have my next guest on a lot. Joining me now is Richard Bernstein. Some of you will recall he was on with us just about 8 weeks ago, talking about a case, the case of Angelo Bino of West Bloomfield. And he's here to update us on that and another case involving Delta Airlines. But first of all, let me just welcome you back, Richard. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. I just, you know, you're positive, you're engaged, you're intelligent, you're everything that we need to be proud of in Southeast Michigan. And I'm just so happy to have you back on the program today.
Tony, the pleasure is mine. And thank you so much for doing this show. Your voice and the work that you do is so desperately needed that it really is. It's just a privilege for me to be a part of a show that's out there really spreading the voice, spreading the word the way that you are.
He's my publicist now, by the way, folks. Richard Bernstein is now my publicist. You know, it's interesting because you know, we got an email. Would you like to update you know, the case with the American Bar Association and the Delta Airlines, and my producer had sent me, and I said, yeah, absolutely. I don't care what we talk about. We can talk about football if he wants to. I just want Richard on the show. You're such a great influence. You do such good work in every area of your life, and including the work you do in the courtroom, which is most important for your clients, Richard. But let's go back and talk. The last time we had you on, we did talk about the American Bar Association accreditation process and how discriminatory that is. How is that case progressing?
Well, first off, thank you again for giving me the chance to talk about this. Well, we are in the midst of federal litigation, and this case, as is all other kinds of civil rights cases, is always going to be a battle. Just to kind of give your audience a little recap, what happened in that case was that basically the U.S. Department of Education gives the accreditation power to the American Bar Association to accredit our nation's law schools. And what I'm fighting for is basically, in order to go to law school, you're required to take what's called the LSAT, which is the LSAT, Law School Admissions Test. The Law School Admissions Test has a third section that basically requires you to draw diagrams in order to answer the questions. So a question on the LSAT would be like this. A, B, C, D, E, and F go into a dinner party. If A is seated next to B, but B is next to D, and A is next to C, where is E in relation to B and C? And the exam instructions actually state that you are required to draw a diagram in order to answer the question. So ultimately what's happening is, because the American Bar Association is forcing U.S. law schools to require this exam as an entrance requirement in order to receive their accreditation, basically what's happening is that any law school that doesn't want to give the LSAT to a blind applicant because they're concerned that it's discriminatory would be stripped of their accreditation by the American Bar Association. They would lose their accreditation and would no longer be able to function as a law school. So you know what? That's what this program's about. If you want to have more civil rights, if you want to have more disability rights, then basically you have to make sure that you have a fair admissions process. And ultimately that currently is not happening. And that's why, Tony, we're in federal court and we're just going to battle this out.
Yeah, but Richard, for those that are listening to this show that maybe didn't hear the first one, you're an attorney. How did you become one if you're not allowed to go to law school?
Sure. Well, the way it was for me, and that's why this is so deeply personal, and that's why I'm just going to fight till the end on this. I mean, no matter how many years it takes. Because back in 96, when I went to Northwestern, the LSAT was waived for me, as it was waived for all other blind applicants. Now, what people have to understand about these, like, standardized tests is these are very big, powerful corporations that you're dealing with here. The Law School Admissions Council is a private corporation that has a far too close relationship with the American Bar Association. So in 96, when the LSAT was waived for me, the Law School Admissions Council, again, a private corporation, went to the American Bar Association and said, we can't have anyone going to law school without having to take our exam. They lobbied the American Bar Association, and the American Bar Association passed Section 503 that since 96 until today, that required the LSAT for all American law schools who wish to remain accredited by the ABA.
So as far as the ABA is concerned, if you're blind, you should not be an attorney.
Pretty much. I got to be honest with you. Pretty much. Because basically that is their contention. They're basically saying that, you know what, if you want to go to law school, you should be forced to take an exam that requires pictures and diagrams, where for obvious reasons, people who are blind cannot draw pictures and diagrams. So there are blind people that are still trying to get into law school, but they're not, because they're put at such an unfair disadvantage when taking an exam that requires them to draw pictures on it. They're put at a tremendous disadvantage to other students who aren't blind who are able to draw pictures. So you have a situation where blind people are simply not going to the schools that they should be going to. And if you want to have more civil rights and disability rights, you got to have more people with disabilities who are sitting in those chairs and going to those schools.
Well, then there's no question that's true. So how does the ABA respond to your suit? And I don't know what you can or cannot divulge.
I can divulge everything. That's the beautiful thing about federal court. When you're a lawyer who practices every day in federal court, it's all a matter of public record. So everything they file with the court is open to the public. There is no seal on this case whatsoever, nor will there ever be.
All right. So, Richard Bernstein, how do they respond to that? Listen, you know, I had a brother who's no longer with me, but he was blind, and he was afforded lots of wonderful opportunities because of his disability. There were lots of programs. He became a very gifted woodworker, and he made furniture, and there were wonderful educational opportunities. I mean, all kinds of doors opened to him because of his disability, not in spite of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So why you know what is the how does the ABA respond to very very bright articulate people that mm-hmm. want to practice the honorable profession of law?
Sure. Well, the American Bar Association is basically putting forth the argument to the court, and this is what I'm briefing right now. I mean, literally, we're on a very intensive briefing schedule, and keep this in mind. The only thing that we're asking for is, again, that blind people be able to go to law school without being required to draw pictures and diagrams. Now, how has the American Bar Association responded? This is how they have responded. And what your listeners have to know is that, you know, this is what we are actually fighting over in United States District Court. This is what I am currently briefing right now and what we are going to go and have oral argument on in the next couple of weeks. The American Bar Association is putting forth the argument that, yes, we require the LSAT for anyone who wishes to remain accredited, any law school that wishes to remain accredited. So they're basically saying, yes, we require the LSAT. However, we are not the offerers of the LSAT. So even though we require the LSAT, we are not the entity that offers the LSAT. So since we're not the entity that offers the LSAT, we should not be held accountable or responsible for the content of the exam. Well, that's their argument. Their argument is, hey, we require it, but we don't offer it. So since we don't offer it, you can't hold us accountable for it. And I want to say, you know, as an attorney, what's also important to note is the fact that the American Bar Association does not have any relationship whatsoever with the state bar of Michigan or any other state bar. The American Bar Association has no relationship whatsoever with the state bars. This is a private entity, the American Bar Association, that for one reason or another has been given the power to accredit by the U.S. Department of Education. And literally, this is their entire argument. Hey, we require it, but we don't offer it, so you shouldn't hold us responsible for the content. And the sad reality is that when you're fighting for rights and when you're fighting on issues like this, these are the kind of roadblocks that people are going to throw in your way. But, you know, the way I see it is, you know what, we're going to brief it, we're going to go back and forth, we're going to have oral argument, and we're going to fight, because I think that this is a really ridiculous excuse that they're putting up, and ultimately I think they're doing this because they simply want to protect the relationship that they have with a private corporation, this private company. They just simply want to protect that relationship they have with the Law School Admissions Council, the administrators of the LSAT, and the relationship that they have with this private standardized testing company is more important to them than doing what is right and what is equitable, and as a result, people with disabilities and special needs are being hurt, and it's not excusable, and it won't be tolerated.
Absolutely. Richard Bernstein, again, my guest with the Sam Bernstein Law Firm. We're going to take a very quick break, Richard. Stay right where you're at. We've got more to talk to you on this issue. We've also got another case to take a look at. Feel free to join us if you'd like, 888-552-3595. By the way, un-American comes to mind as Richard's talking. The American Bar Association is really being anti-American. This is not the way we treat our fellow citizens, is it? Let's take a break here on First Shift. We'll be right back.
It's Congress that does the spending. The president is prohibited to do that. If he had the power to do that, he would be making the spending decisions. He would be making the taxing decisions. Clearly, that's unconstitutional.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're still looking at that diesel fuel spill blocking the right lane northbound 75 at 11 mile. Traffic is backed up to 9 mile. So to that southbound between Rochester Road down through 8 mile, you're going to find some delays there too. Same goes for 696 westbound between Mound and 75. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
A forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly cloudy, a high near 66. Tonight, showers likely, possibly a thunderstorm, cloudy, a low in the lower 50s. And then tomorrow, showers likely, cloudy, but the temperature is going to drop big time to the upper 40s by late afternoon. Breezy as well with winds out of the northwest. Right now, it's foggy and 54 at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
For a limited time, you can add the OnStar FMV mirror to your car for only $199. It's like having a portable nav, a roadside assistance plan, Bluetooth, and a stolen vehicle system, plus automatic help in a crash. And it's compatible with most cars. Add OnStar FMV to your car at Best Buy for only $199 MSRP after instant rebate. Tax, installation, and OnStar subscription extra. Visit OnStar.com for availability, limitations, details, and more retailers. Hurry. Offer ends October 31st, 2011.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is John Austin, the president of the Michigan Board of Education.
Some on the right trying to use this moment of fiscal challenges with the need to figure out how we improve education to say, let's take advantage of that to dismantle unions and dismantle teachers' unions in particular because they view them as a political foe that needs to be countered versus potential partner in helping deliver the very education improvement and reform that we must deliver.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
On 1310 WDTW.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
On 1310
WDTW.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour. Again, Richard Bernstein, my guest. He is attorney with the Sam Bernstein Law Firm. We're talking about, if you want to get technical, folks, case number 2:11-CV-12247-DPH-MAR. That's right, exactly what we're talking about. But what we're really talking about is, in my opinion, an un-American system that says to very bright people, because of your inability to see, you should not have a career in a field that is honorable and accessible to people that are already performing that service. Richard Bernstein, for those of you who don't know, is blind. Richard, it is offensive to me that they can, at the ABA, the American Bar Association, can say, you know, listen, I understand that you're blind. Good for you. You got your degree. You're admitted to the bar. You know, be happy with what you've got. But, you know, enough's enough. What's it matter to them? Why would they care about this?
Well, I think like anything else, the reason you got to be out there fighting and the reason why I love being a lawyer and I love going to federal court every single day is because when people are, you know, protected by certain interests and when there's money involved, what it really comes down to is I think the relationship between the American Bar Association and this private test corporation where that relationship is more important to them than doing what is right, doing what is equitable, and giving everybody a chance.
Yeah, but Richard, how does banning blind people from taking the LSAT benefit them financially? This is the part I'm not getting.
Sure, I think what it comes down to is that what I'm asking for in my lawsuit is that we go back to how it was in 1996 when blind people got a waiver on the LSAT the way it should be because they can't draw pictures and diagrams as the exam requires. The Testing Corporation and its relationship with the American Bar Association, I think, is fighting tooth and nail because ultimately they want to preserve their monopoly. And if you admit that your exam is flawed and you allow for a blind or visually impaired person to get through the gates without taking your exam, their concern is that everybody will try to get through the gates without taking the exam, which is exactly what I want to happen, which is exactly what I hope will happen. But I think what this is they're basically throwing down the gauntlet because they want to protect their monopoly, they want to protect their exam. The American Bar Association wants to maintain the relationship it has with the Law School Admissions Council, this private corporation. So even though they realize that this is discriminatory towards blind people, they're going to fight with everything they have because they don't want to have this kind of change because it will jeopardize the business as usual model that they're operating under.
Is there a reason that the LSAT Corporation or whatever their name is not named in this suit as well?
Yeah, the reason for that is ultimately because I'm holding the American Bar Association responsible. Because ultimately this private corporation can go and administer a discriminatory exam as much as it wants. The issue is, if you, Tony, come up with an exam that's discriminatory, well, you can go and do that. The party that's responsible is the entity that gives you the power to do it. I mean, they are empowered by the American Bar Association. If you just had this company out there by itself, but it wasn't a requirement, then it wouldn't be an issue. But the fact that the American Bar Association is empowering this behavior, and the only reason this law school admissions council is able to survive is because of its relationship with the American Bar Association. So you always go to the entity that's empowering the behavior, and the American Bar Association is empowering the behavior. And as far as I'm concerned, as a blind lawyer, is it challenging taking on the American Bar Association? Absolutely. I mean, it's me by myself versus huge numbers of attorneys, huge numbers of people they can put on this case. I mean, it's the entire American Bar Association. But the fact is that when you're standing up for something that you know is right, no matter what the consequences, no matter how difficult they're going to make it, no matter how expensive they're going to make it, as far as I'm concerned, when you know that you have no alternative but to win and but to fight, well, that gives you the power and the ability to kind of work through anything and get the job done no matter what the cost is.
And this is why I love Richard Bernstein. Richard, what do law schools have to say about this issue? Have they weighed in on this at all?
Oh, absolutely, because, I mean, this case is definitely going to trial, and I think what you're going to find from a number of law school deans is that law schools would like to be able to make their own determinations. So who is the American Bar Association to put these requirements on to law schools where you're making law schools have to break the law by discriminating against disabled applicants? So I think ultimately what you'll find is the law schools would like to basically make their own determination as to how admissions are done. So they don't like being told by the American Bar Association as to how they should be doing admissions or how they should not be doing admissions. It's the purview of each individual law school, and they don't feel that the American Bar Association should have the authority to be able to withhold their accreditation over issues like this.
Well, it just seems to me that there's the compromise is right. You just gave us the compromise. Let the law school decide, not the American Bar Association.
Well, that's what this entire case is about. That all I'm basically in federal court and going to be going back and forth. And you should see the briefs that are going back and forth on this case. I mean, you should just see the briefs that are just going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth on this. And at the end of the day, what you just said, Tony, is ultimately what we're asking for. What I'm simply asking for is that law schools be able to make their own determination as to what their application process should be, and they shouldn't be basically overruled by the American Bar Association because of the American Bar Association's relationship with the Standardized Testing Corporation.
Well, listen, ultimately, I don't care if you're blind, if you're sighted, if you can't handle law school, that will present itself pretty quickly, Richard. It has absolutely nothing to do with your ability to see or not.
Absolutely, and I think what's also important is, we're not talking about the bar exam. Nobody basically has any objection whatsoever to the bar associate, to the bar exam. I mean, the bar exam is a knowledge-based exam. So ultimately, when you're talking about a knowledge-based exam, nobody has any objection to the bar. So, for example, as a blind person, I don't have any objection to the bar. The bar is a licensing exam. Either you know the information, either you understand the material, either you're able to handle the material, or you shouldn't take the exam and you shouldn't be a lawyer. The LSAT is a completely different exam. This is the law school admissions test that is not a knowledge-based exam. It's an IQ test and has no correlation to how you practice law, to how you're going to perform in law school, and to how you're going to be a lawyer. But the bar exam has no relationship with the LSAT whatsoever, and nobody objects to the bar exam because the bar exam is a knowledge-based exam that tests whether you know, understand, and comprehend the material that is necessary to practice law.
Yeah, and again, it just to me this is common sense, and I you know, again, Richard, my words, I'm not, and only my words, it just, this is just anti-American to me.
Well, the sad reality is, Tony, is when you talk about American, what American really means is being able to have a chance to get into that courtroom, to be able to have a chance to fight for civil rights, to be able to have a chance to fight for disability rights. I mean, ultimately, you know, the thing that I love the most, Tony, is I love being an attorney. And I love my job. Is it hard? Absolutely. Is it brutal? Absolutely. Is it challenging? Absolutely. Is it difficult? Absolutely. Can it be hard to go into work every day? Sure. But at the end of the day, what I like about being a lawyer is that when there's an injustice, when there's a wrong, when there's something happening that shouldn't, you're able to step up and you're actually able to do something about it. That's the blessing of being a lawyer, is the fact that when something's happening that shouldn't, you can go in and you can actually try to make it better. You can go in and you can actually try to create change.
Yeah.
And the greatest thing about it is if you look at the cases that I've been blessed to handle, you know, ultimately we're trying to make life a little bit better for people.
And you are. And Richard, we're just out of time. You are.
Sure.
You are making a difference for people. We got to have you back more often. This once every 8, 10 weeks isn't going to cut it for
me. Well, we should talk. Next time we'll come back, we'll talk about the case that we just finished that's going to change U.S. aviation to give rights to disabled flyers.
We'll do that for sure.
The world.
We'll do that for sure.
You know what, Tony? Thank you, and God bless you for this show, and God bless your listeners. And please keep the fight alive. Keep doing it, because change does happen. I love this show. I love what you're doing, and I love being a part of it.
Thank you, Richard.
God
we'll be
bless
back.
You.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Northbound 75 at 11 mile. That right lane is still closed because of a fuel spill. 696 westbound between Mound and 35. That is backed up. 75 southbound between 8 mile down to the Davison. That is slow as well. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
Well, a chilly forecast now from the National Weather Service. Not so much today with the highs getting up to around 66 degrees, mostly cloudy, though. Tonight, showers, maybe a thunderstorm, cloudy, a low around 51. But tomorrow, the bottom drops out. Showers likely, mainly before 2 p.m., cloudy, breezy as well. But the temperature is going to drop to the upper 40s by 3 p.m. Currently, it's foggy and 54 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. For millions of workers across America, family paychecks have declined or stagnated to such an extent that real median household income was lower in 2010 than it was in 1997, according to Census Bureau numbers. The AFL-CIO says it's time to end the failed economic experiment of lowering taxes on the rich, dismantling regulations on business, and following NAFTA-like global trade policies, because that has only led to an unequal economy that only works for the very richest Americans. American Federation of Teachers President Randy Weingarten says there's an urgent need for Congress to pass President Obama's American Jobs Act. With a record 46.2 million Americans in poverty, Weingarten says is a terrible impact on families, kids, and schools. Weingarten says that with families struggling to find jobs and to overcome economic hardship, schools can be a source of stability for families and communities and a place where students and their parents can get the services they need to have a chance at success. The AFT says nearly two-thirds of school staff across the country report they are regularly seeing kids having trouble in school because of hunger. So to end high joblessness and reduce poverty, the AFL-CIO says we need family-sustaining jobs, more investments in our futures, and fair taxation. Who would applaud a mass firing of workers? Jesse Russell lets us know.
When President Ronald Reagan made the decision to fire thousands of air traffic controllers in August of 1981 for continuing a strike, few saw it as a reason to celebrate. Tuesday night, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie gave a speech at Reagan Library and gave his recollection of the 1981 incident. And when he mentioned the mass firing by Reagan, the audience broke out in applause. The cheering comes at a time when the unemployment rate stands at 9% in the United States, and budget cuts by Republicans have resulted in more than 500,000 additional job losses for public sector employees.
Will the third time be the charm for R.J. Reynolds tobacco workers seeking union representation? A secret ballot vote will be held at two of the company's North Carolina plants to determine if workers want to be represented by the International Association of Machinists. The vote is expected at the end of October. This newscast made possible in part by the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising, a one-hour radio documentary produced by Workers Independent News in conjunction with WORT. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Listen to Real Radio or create your own custom stations. Download the new iHeartRadio app for your iPhone at iHeartRadio.com or iTunes.com/iHeartRadio, where you can also download music from festival artists like Lady Gaga, Jay-Z, Coldplay, and more.
In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Maybe you can hire. That's if you make enough money. Because we are not cheap. So, our first client may be Turquia Mullen. Who is Turquia Mullen? Turquia Mullen has just been hired to be the new CEO of the Metropolitan Airport. And there is a lot of controversy this morning surrounding not her hire, not her leaving her job, not even how much she's going to get paid in her new job. The controversy is a parachute, golden parachute in her last contract that said when she left her job, she would receive a $200,000 severance. And she is saying that the reason that there's such a hubbub about this isn't because the unions have made ongoing concessions. It's not because they're laying off people left and right. It's not any of that. It's because she's a woman. She got the payout while employees are receiving pay cuts. And she says that she makes no apologies for taking that $200,000, wouldn't consider giving it back. And then she went on to say, quote, when you are a woman, you are subjected to this ridiculous level of scrutiny. It's appalling to me that there is such a double standard. Now, I don't know about you folks, but nobody said anything about her being a woman. In fact, when I say the name Turquia Mullen, does that necessarily mean you're a woman? If you're not familiar with the name, absolutely not. Could have been a man, right? So at issue here isn't whether or not she is a woman, and I'm sure she's quite capable. In fact, we're going to listen to some audio now where she tells us how capable she is. But honestly, is it justifiable? Well, you know what? She negotiated a deal, and her contract states that she gets $200,000 upon leaving her job. So you have to honor the contract. That doesn't mean you have to like it. Let's listen to some audio. Turquia Mullen wants us to focus on her performance, period.
Well, I think you have to really focus on my performance, and it really boils down to, do people have jobs so they can feed their families? I negotiated this contract. I've earned everything I've received, and if you look at third-party validation, whether it's being featured as one of the top economic development groups in the country in the past 2 years, under my watch, we've been able to bring in $5.5 billion in economic activity, creating and working with companies to create and retain over 40,000 jobs. So, and my question, you know, you really have to look at the performance and not simply look at what somebody's being paid.
All right, now, and again, I have no problem with what she just said. No problem with that at all. But then she goes on to say that, you know, it was just part of her contract, and that's that. That's all that matters. Go ahead, play it.
Well, my predecessor did receive a severance package, and actually his package was an 18-month package. The place where I went, the airport where I was recently appointed, some of the executives there each received a one-year severance package. So the fact that I'm marketable and I'm talented and I'm accomplished and I end up getting another job shouldn't be a criticism, but actually... you know, it was part of my contract that I did negotiate.
All right. And then I want to go to the next piece of audio I want to play is that gets two salaries from Wake County. That's the one I want you to play next.
Let me just be clear, clarify for you. I get $200,000 base pay from the county, and the business community who has, and again, these people have millions, if not billions of dollars vested in this community, and they wanted a say, and so they've established performance measures, which I, in fact, more than met, and as a result, I received another $75,000 through the Business Development Corporation.
All right, so she's making some fat scratch. No question that's true. She's making some big, big, big money. 100%. Now, is she performing? She says that she's brought in $5.5 billion with a B dollars. So, yeah, you know, maybe she is justifying her income. The problem here, honestly, the problem here is Bob Ficano. Bob Ficano allowed this to happen. Bob Ficano, and I'm telling you, the Wayne County Commission is not happy that this contract that was negotiated the way it was. But this is what happens. I'm sorry, commissioners. This is what happens when you close the barn door after the horses leave. And that's what your folks are trying to do here. Let's go to the phones, 888-552-3595. My brother Tom from the UFCW on the other end of my line. Tom, good to have you back on the show this morning.
Good morning, Tony.
How are you?
Good. Hey, the problem I have with this is what makes her contract more sacrosanct than the union contracts for the teachers, the police, and firefighters with regard to that?
Absolutely nothing. We need to honor all contracts.
Well, they do need to honor all contracts, but to say that they can't touch hers after what they raped and pillaged the teachers, police, and firefighters.
Oh, look what they just did to the corrections officers.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you know, it'd be nice to see a little bit of poetic justice here. The contract by definition, it's a legal binding document.
I agree with
you. What gave them the right to attack ours and then to say that, well, we can't attack hers?
Well, let's take that one step further. You know, the governor says the reason he's closing the Mound Prison, Tom, is because the workers won't reopen their 2012 contract. It's a contract. It was already bargained, Tom.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. But I find it extremely troubling that the union contracts don't seem to carry the same weight that these individual contracts do.
I'm telling you, Tom, I don't know about from where you're sitting, but I'm telling you right now, I am so ready to just come down like a hammer on these folks. I've had enough. I've had enough.
I have too, sir.
All right. Tom, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. I do. I appreciate it. 888-552-3595. So here's the question. Here's the question. I mean, do you, you know, are we making much ado about nothing? I don't think so. We're talking about a $250,000 salary, a $200,000 buyout, performance bonuses. And by the way, you've got to know the media. All the media are doing a Freedom of Information request on her public contract. Now, if the Conning was smart, they would just give it up, but they're not going to do that. They're going to make everybody go through the FOIA process. Fine. If you want to play it that way, go ahead. Bob Ficano's got some explaining to do. Bob Ficano has some explaining to do. Bob Ficano is not treating people equally under his tutelage. He treats his unions with disrespect, but he treats his upper echelon as if they're some kind of gods.
And this is there's a pattern of behavior here. Just Google it. Go to the Free Press of the Detroit News and Google how well he treats his inner circle. And you know, it's just wrong. You can't say to your workers, your rank and file, the AFSCME folks, you can't say to them, I'm sorry, you need to just start coughing up more money. You can't do that and then turn around and allow something like this to happen. Bob Ficano negotiated this contract. Bob Ficano did. Why is his name not front and center? Why is he not answering questions this morning? That's the answer that I want. 888-552-3595. Let's go to Pat downriver. Pat, thanks for punching in this morning. What is on your mind? Good morning.
Hey, Tony, it's Pat. You know me from a long time ago.
Okay, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good.
We used to hang out together with a congressman.
Yep, I know who you are, Pat.
Well, you know, in today's Detroit news, it said that Turquia started at the county in 2003 in Corporation Counsel's office, and I checked the state bar directory, and she's not an attorney, so I wonder what she did for Corporation Counsel, because they only have attorneys and secretaries.
Maybe she was a secretary. I mean, I don't know, Pat. It's a great question. We need to find that out.
Because you just have to wonder, how did this woman have these skills that got her promoted so quickly and so, you know, at such a high level with the county?
Well, you know, Pat, let me ask you, if I recall correctly, you are an attorney, correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Now, Pat, listen, we got contracts, and at some level, they're contracts, and we need to honor them. I think that Tom, the caller earlier, brings up a very important point, though. Why, you know, should we expect Bob Ficano to treat people differently? If he's defending Turquia Mullen, should he not also be defending the union men and women that work for the county and with the same spirit and the same enthusiasm?
Well, you're right. I think there's a double standard there. You know, I've been involved in municipal government and all levels of government for many, many years. I don't know of any elected official or even, you know, appointed official that ever had a year severance package. That's amazing.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that's where I was headed next. I find this extraordinary. And I don't know what's going to come of this, but Pat, I think this is a long way from being solved or settled. I don't think, it's not about her credentials. It's not about anything, but was, you know, and the commissioner certainly have some culpability in this too. Just to be said, just to be told, well, we didn't know. Man, oh man, does that expose something, doesn't it? Well, we just didn't know. Stephen Monroe, you're up next. Stay right where you're at. We'll take the break. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
For a limited time, you can add the OnStar FMV mirror to your car for only $199. It's like having a portable nav, a roadside assistance plan, Bluetooth, and a stolen vehicle system, plus automatic help in a crash. And it's compatible with most cars. Add OnStar FMV to your car at Best Buy for only $199 MSRP after instant rebate. Tax, installation, and OnStar subscription extra. Visit OnStar.com for availability, limitations, details, and more retailers. Hurry, offer ends October 31st, 2011.
Listen to Real Radio or create your own custom stations. Download the new iHeartRadio app for your iPhone at iHeartRadio.com or iTunes.com/iHeartRadio, where you can also download music from festival artists like Lady Gaga, Jay-Z, Coldplay, and more.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Cindy Estrada. How are things going with your negotiations with the state?
We're excited because the governor has come out and said that he acknowledges that, you know, here's what we're saying and he's going to look into it. But we can't be an efficient state government when we have so many management. We have a 5.8-1, which means for every 5.8 workers, there's one manager, causing the state to be inefficient, which is outrageous.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Tony is back and wants to talk with you. Give him a call at 1-888-552-3595.
And welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. If you're just joining us, our Turquia Mullen, who will be the new CEO of the Detroit Metropolitan Airport, left her past job in economic development for Wayne County. And she will receive a $200,000 severance check. Performance bonuses in excess of $75,000, and was rewarded with a new job and a $250,000 annual pay. The controversy this morning is, of course, as we are seeing that we need to make cuts everywhere, as the unions have been asked to give and give and give until it be beyond hurts. Is this right, and should it be challenged? That's the question at hand. Let's go to the phones, and Steve in Monroe's been patiently waiting. Steve, thanks so much, and welcome to First Shift again.
Good morning, Tony. Unfortunately, contract law has kind of been thrown out the window through the bailout of the auto industry with the Obama administration. He basically put unsecured creditors ahead of secured creditors, which were the bondholders, and you know, that wasn't a good thing. I mean, I know, you know, obviously he meant well, and the administration meant well, but it kind of screwed up contract law because they just totally trashed it there.
And well, I don't know if that's necessarily true, because that was an act of Congress, and I don't know the courts would give that equal weight in a court of law.
Right, but that's why we have courts for bankruptcy. You have a court system to designate it specifically to deal with bankruptcy. I guess my point is it should have went through the court system. They should have funneled it through the court system, fast-tracked it through the court system rather than just taking the complete process over.
All right. Well, so you're saying that because of the auto bailouts, we're just kind of stuck with what happened with Turquia Mullen?
I just think that it's, you know, there's no correlation between the two other than contract law was thrown out the window, and now you can break any contract. And look, I'm kind of side with you. I don't agree we should just randomly break contracts, but a precedent was set, and now you're seeing other contracts.
Yeah, I just don't think, Steve, we're comparing apples to apples. I don't think an act of Congress, which was what the auto loans were, the act of Congress is the same as breaking a contract. But I guess I understand your point, and I appreciate the call. 888-552-3595. You know, listen, I don't think this thing is settled. And don't be surprised if at some point this doesn't get a legal challenge. And I'm not saying that, you know, they're going to be able to get that $200,000 back. I don't know that. I don't know the answer to that question. But the Wayne County commissioners have some explaining to do, because how did they not know? You know, they're going to say, well, the executive, the Wayne County executive, Bob Ficano, didn't tell us. Well, he's still answerable to you.
Now, I like how they said in the report that they're going to start looking at contracts now. Like, you just let them just sign whatever contract you wanted to start with?
Well, they asked for, yeah, they did ask for all of the appointees' contracts. Now they want to take a look at it. Well, again, that's like closing the door. Amir in Detroit joins us now. Amir, my brother, good morning to you. Your thoughts on this topic, sir?
My thing is, it's a contract. Does he deserve it? I'm going to tell you no, because I don't see the jobs in Wayne County. So I'm trying to figure out where are the jobs at. And then if you brought jobs in, what did it really give economic growth to the people that you brought the jobs to?
Well, according to her, Amir, she brought in $5.5 billion in investment and 40,000 jobs. Now, I don't know where those jobs are. I'm not saying they're not here. I just don't know where they're at.
Well, let's ask her this. And also, why are Wayne County workers having to basically go without medicine and be sick and can't afford their own health care, and some of them even getting food stamps? Well, and I understand the woman say she was poor and, you know, she deserves it. But, you know, when you're a American citizen, especially when you're a vet and you know others are hungry, and it wasn't going to hurt you not to take the $200,000 because you know that could be more beneficial to our county, then that's what she should have done. That's a moral thing. But
you're right, that is a moral thing. And she apparently has no conscience on this, because she was specifically asked, Amir, if she'd give that money back, and she said, absolutely not, I won't give that money back. I earned that money.
If it was me, I would get the money back, because first off, and be honest with you, people wouldn't even complain about it, because if it was me, the job would be here, the people would be making money, the Wayne County workers would not be sitting up here talking about they can't afford their medicine, because the first thing I'm going to look to do in the economic development is making sure the people that are working these jobs can have a livable wage.
Yeah, you got to have a living wage. That's critical. And you know, they've taken pay cuts, I think, equal to almost 30% over the last half a decade. So, I mean, this is really problematic.
And you know, the funny thing is, she's got a $75,000 bonus from the business economic or whatever she said. But this really sounded like she was doing more for business and not people. And that $200,000 came from the people, so we gave you more money, so why didn't we get more benefit out of your work?
Well, so then let me just kind of close the circle. I might as well get your thoughts on this. She claims this is all because she's a woman. What do you think that's all about?
Yeah, right. If she was a man and we knew about it, it'd be the same thing. And
thank you,
in fact,
brother.
We brought up the issue when the last executive in her position got the money. So,
thank you.
No,
thank
it ain't got nothing to do with she's a woman. I'm glad she ain't black, because she'd have said that next.
All right, fair enough. Thanks, my brother. I appreciate it. Absolutely. 888-552-3595. Jeff, it seems clear to me that there's not a lot of support for Turquia Mullen in this audience.
I don't know why. She's a job creator. We have to treat job creators like gentle creatures in the
wild. According to her, she's a real job creator. She doesn't just have money. She also has created actual jobs, according to her, 40,000 of them.
Right, so we need to give her more than the $200,000 if she's creating all these jobs, right?
Yeah, this is very interesting.
It's silly, but you know what? I don't blame her. If someone offered me a contract and said, hey, at the end of it, if you leave for a better job, we're going to give you a lump sum of money, I'm going to be like, well, thank you.
Well, according to this article in the Detroit News this morning, she did take a 10% pay cut with her other county employees and is working hard to turn around the airport by reducing a $20 million budget gap and making it an economic engine, quote-unquote. The Wayne County Airport Authority Board appointed Mullen on August 2nd after a national search. At the time, members cited her economic development experience. Some board members have since questioned her lack of aviation experience. Mullen said she inherited a $40 million budget gap at the airport and is proposing a budget to the board today that includes buyouts and other measures to prevent layoffs. Quoting her, I have been working nonstop to turn this around. She joined the county in 2003, as we stated earlier. She goes on to say, I need to be paid what my value is. I bring a lot of value to the table. I am getting paid what I am worth. Bob Ficano's top deputy, Azam Elder, has assumed Mullen's department job with the county on an interim basis. I don't know how much he's getting paid, but and don't know what his golden parachute is. Hers, by the way, in this job, 6 months' salary. That's her golden parachute, is 6 months' salary. I don't think I think we're a long way from this story being done and over with. No question, that's true. David Holtz in the next hour. We'll have a lot of time for open lines as well, so you want to stay where you're at. Progress, Michigan, of course, David is from. This is First Shift. Russ coming up with traffic and weather. CNN with headline news. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll take the break and be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Looking at a couple of accidents on eastbound 696, one at Woodward and another one at the Lodge. Both are on the shoulder. Both are causing some minor delays. 75 northbound at 11 mile, that fuel spill accident is still out there blocking the right lane. Traffic is backed up to 9 mile. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Mostly cloudy today, a high near 66. Tonight, showers, maybe a thunderstorm in there too. Cloudy, a low in the lower 50s. And then tomorrow, showers likely, cloudy, but the temperature is going to drop into the upper 40s by late afternoon. Breezy as well with winds of the northwest. Right now, it's foggy and 54 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after the top of the hour.
1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Todd from First Shift with Tony Truppiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Now time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Leading the news this hour, federal agents say they busted a guy who was apparently plotting terror attacks using remote-controlled airplanes. CNN's Bob Costantini reports live the suspect is an American citizen. Bob.
Bill, officials have not revealed how they learned of the suspect, eventually targeted for a sting. 25-year-old Rezwan Ferdows from Ashland, Massachusetts, is accused of planning to load remote-controlled model planes with explosives and fly them into the Pentagon and Capitol. Undercover agents, according to officials, provided dummy guns and grenades and fake explosives to supposedly move the plot along, but they believe Ferdows was not part of some larger attack plan. The Northeastern University physics graduate is set to appear in court Monday. Bill?
There are dozens of top-secret pictures of Osama bin Laden the government is keeping locked up. They were taken during and after the raid that killed bin Laden. Chris Farrell with Judicial Watch says he thinks it would be okay to release the pictures.
It also sends a message to those that would try to harm us in some way that we will pursue you across the ends of the earth in over years to bring justice. So there's a very strong deterrent message, we believe.
The House is expected to pass a temporary funding bill today to avoid a government shutdown. It only keeps the government funded through next Tuesday. Two paramedics, Michael Jackson Sheff and his head of security, are due up next at the Conrad Murray manslaughter trial. They're expected to give more testimony about the chaos on the day Jackson died. People in Boston are depressed this morning. The Red Sox finished the worst final month collapse in baseball history. The Sox, David Ortiz, says it's a nightmare.
This is maybe the worst situation that I've ever been involved in my whole career.
The Rays beat out the Red Sox to win the American League wild card. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Right now at the Home Depot, top-rated Behr Premium Plus Interior Paint starts at the new lower price of just $19.96 a gallon. It's the paint you trust, and now it's even more affordable. Which means this weekend you can take your living room from tired to inspired and your walls from white to bright. Then keep them that way for years to come. All thanks to Behr Premium Plus Interior Paint, now just $19.96. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Notice things are different now that you're a little older? Lower energy, more fat, it all could be the signs of testosterone levels dropping. We can boost testosterone by 61% with Ageless Male, a safe, natural supplement that helps you maintain normal, healthy testosterone levels. Be an Ageless Male. For your risk-free trial, 1-800-289-2987. 1-800-289-2987. 1-800-289-2987.
A major hurdle cleared in the tough political slog that is the Greek financial rescue.
Parliament in Germany, Europe's biggest economy, has approved a measure granting greater power and resources to bail out Greece from its debt mess. European Union nations, which have not yet voted on the measure, are now considered more likely to pass it. Although the news is considered reassuring, European markets have fallen back from an earlier rally as sometimes news lags market action. U.S. stock futures still up, S&P futures gaining 8, NASDAQ futures up 17, Dow futures up 74. Ahead of reports in the coming hour measuring overall U.S. economic growth in the second quarter, plus the latest snapshot of new unemployment claim filings. As Ford negotiates with the Auto Workers Union, a report says the company may shift all production of its Fusion midsize sedan to the United States from Mexico. The move could be part of a strategy for Ford that would create as many as 10,000 U.S. jobs. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
There it is! Let's follow it and see where it goes.
A new kind of broadband company is here. We're CenturyLink, linking Americans coast to coast to what matters. Our consistently fast speeds save you from interruptions and slowdowns, and since we're locally operated, you'll be met by honest personal service. We're committed to providing a better experience with 5-year price guarantees and more ways to customize your technology.
I think it's headed across the country.
CenturyLink, your link to what's next. Find out more at CenturyLink.com.
Oh, give me freedom.
So you're starting a business with no customers and no employees, you're paying a landlord and an accountant even though you have no sales, and you'll be working 18 hours a day. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, I am.
Small business owners survive on confidence. And because Constant Contact has helped so many small businesses grow, we share that confidence. Starting at just $15 a month, you'll get powerful email marketing tools, a personal coach to help you every step of the way, even a money-back guarantee. Start today at ConstantContact.com.
Right now at the Home Depot, top-rated Behr Premium Plus Interior Paint starts at the new lower price of just $19.96 a gallon. It's the paint you trust, and now it's even more affordable. Which means this weekend you can take your living room from tired to inspired and your walls from white to bright. Then keep them that way for years to come. All thanks to Behr Premium Plus Interior Paint, now just $19.96. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Notice things are different now that you're a little older? Lower energy, more fat, it all could be the signs of testosterone levels dropping. We can boost testosterone by 61% with Ageless Male, a safe, natural supplement that helps you maintain normal, healthy testosterone levels. Be an Ageless Male. For your risk-free trial, 1-800-289-2987. 1-800-289-2987. 1-800-289-2987.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Shift with Tony Triano.
Well, welcome back, folks. Just after 8 o'clock here on a Thursday morning, and this day is just flying by. At the bottom of the hour at 8:35, we're going to take a look at what I feel is an unconscionable act by Governor Snyder to axe 367 jobs to force furlough days upon union workers throughout the state of Michigan, to continue to ignore the collective bargaining process and to hide and bury his head in the sand as it comes to management staff ratios and privatization or profitization, as a caller earlier, JR, had asked me to start calling it, and why that is the wrong way to go. We're going to get to that at the bottom of the hour. But in this half hour, of course, we have our regular Thursday guest. I do want to remind you, if you want to join us at any point throughout the show, 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. And, of course, on Twitter, @TonyTrupiano. Guys, go ahead and give me the intro.
As we do every week at this time, we welcome the Executive Director of Progress Michigan, David Holtz.
And David Holtz is with us, as billed, the Executive Director of Progress Michigan. My friend, it's a pleasure to have you on the show again this week.
It's good to be with you, Tony, and your listeners this morning.
Well, you know, the process goes, so people understand a little behind the scenes. I write you every Wednesday afternoon, and I say, hey, what would you like to talk about tomorrow? I didn't expect, David, of course, to get the response I got from you for today's show, and I really. I really just want to give you your time to tell this story in your own time, in your own voice, without interruption, if you're following me. And we have plenty of time before we have to get to the break. So I'm just going to let you kind of take it over right now.
Sure. Well, what I wanted to share with you and your listeners this morning was a story about a friend of mine who I've known for 38 years. Her name's Jan, and I found out a couple days ago I got a call from one of our Jan and I's mutual friends that she had died Friday. She lived in Warren, and she walked to the park where she usually walked her dog. She lived alone there with her dog. And she took her own life, shot herself. And, you know, Jan... You know, as I thought about it, and, you know, of course, the first thing you do is, you know, someone you've known that long and in a lot of different ways, had so many experiences with, you know, usually the first question is why. And, you know, that really wasn't, you know, sort of the real question that came to my mind. It was that really it just seemed like this was so unnecessary. You know, Jan really was a woman with a big smile and a pretty large personality and a freestyle life. She lived most of her life in Michigan and moved to Texas for a while, came back when her parents got a little older to help with that. And she went, you know, she would stay in jobs for maybe four or five, 6 years. And what happened with her was she kept going from job to job losing the job because of a lot of factors related to jobs being outsourced, technology. She wasn't a college graduate, you know, but she had skills. She worked in the printing business for a long time. But what happened with that job was that, a lot of the... work that she did was taken over by machines, technology, and then a lot of the other work was being outsourced. So the jobs in the industry were shrinking, and she eventually lost that job. She was out of work for almost a year. I remember at the time because I was living in Ferndale, and we talked about possibly sharing an apartment in order to save money. And then she got a job working in a construction equipment operation as a dispatcher, where they would, you know, send out various machinery to work sites, and she would be the person that sort of brokered all that. She was very very hard worker and would fit right in with that kind of job. But when the housing crash came, and the construction trades, the construction business went down, her job was lost there too. And that was about 2 years ago. She kept looking and kept looking and kept looking, and eventually, about a year ago, she stopped getting interviews. She wasn't getting that many anyways. She was 58, and she really felt that it was her age that really was the biggest barrier to even getting an interview. People just wanted, you know, to talk to younger people. People who maybe would come cheaper than she would, but she started spiraling downhill. She turned inward, heard less and less from Jan. We have this party that she and I used to go to every year for 30 years with about 20 or 30 of our other friends out in Lenox Township in Macomb County. And we are all people who have known each other for a long time, and we really look forward to this party. And I'd heard Jan wasn't coming, and I reached out, never heard back from her. She didn't come, and then used to get emails from her all the time. silly emails, jokes, and she was kind of a conservative, and she had a lot of conservative political humor, or stories about crazy things like spray-on clothing. And that was the last email I got from her on September 2nd. And then the next thing I heard was that she had died. And as I thought about her situation, and obviously it's very sad for her friends and family, and just, it's, you know, a difficult thing to deal with personally, you know, you can't really pinpoint the economy or job loss for someone's death in this case or probably other cases. But you can say, I mean, these are complicated things. A lot was going on with Jan that we probably didn't know. But what we knew was that her inability to find work and her financial distress was taking a terrible toll. Some of her friends tried to help her financially, loaned her money. But there's an awful lot of dignity that comes with the job. And it just really weighed on her. And we're in a situation now in Michigan where I just believe that this is the kind of thing that we're going to be facing more and more. I was reading Jack Lessenberry's column in the Metro Times over the weekend where he was talking about the welfare payment cuts to 30,000 poor kids that happened this week and more coming on October 1st, with most of those cuts impacting families in the Detroit area. I thought about the state government deciding under the Snyder administration and the current legislature to scale back unemployment payments to 20 weeks instead of 26, and the only state really to do that. And I couldn't help but think of the human cost of these types of decisions, that, you know, someone who may already be having challenges, may already be troubled, being taken over the edge and something tragic happened. And I think it's just something that we're going to, unfortunately, be seeing a lot more of in Michigan.
Well, you know, and David, first of all, my condolences to you. And it's very difficult. This is not the kind of news that you can justify. And in words of comfort, often don't provide that comfort. But I certainly want to offer them, sincerely offer them. But I think it gives us an important opportunity to have a very different discussion. I often go back, and I've actually quoted it a couple times over the last few days, Bob King's pronouncement that budgets are moral documents. I had William Grider on the show yesterday and brought this up to him as well. I mean, there is nothing more true in politics than, I think, that statement, David. And when we take a look at your friend Jan and all of the complications that came about as a result of a stressed economy, somebody that was trying to live an authentic life, and by that I mean her individuality and her esprit de corps. You think about how many people, David, have been fundamentally changed as a result of over the last 5 to 10 years, as the result of what had been traditionally, a pretty great place to be, Southeast Michigan, for a very long period of time, for decades. And to see it change the way it has been devastating. Just 10 seconds, and then we'll come back from the break. Go ahead, David.
Yes, and you know, people need to understand that when a decision is made in Lansing to make all these cuts so that, $1.8 billion in tax cuts for businesses happen, there is a human cost to that.
Yeah, there sure is. David Holtz, Progress Michigan. ProgressMichigan.org, and on Facebook, by the way, Progress Michigan. Go ahead and find them and like them. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be back the other side of this break. I'm Tony Trufiano. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. Stay with us, please.
Go
Got a question or comment?
Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Chip with Tony Triviano
on 1310
WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at some delays on 75 southbound, essentially from Rochester Road all the way down through the I-94 interchange. Some good news, that accident we did have on 75 northbound with the fuel spill at 11 mile, that is now out of the way. We're looking at some delays on 696 eastbound from Orchard Lake Road all the way through the Lodge. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, isolated showers before noon, mostly cloudy, a high near 66. Tonight, showers likely, maybe a storm in there as well. Cloudy, a low around 51. And then tomorrow, showers are likely cloudy. Temperature is going to drop to around 48 by mid-afternoon. Breezy, a northwest wind gusting as high as 28 miles per hour. Right now, it's foggy and 54 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Ultimate football fans, rejoice. Score a new TV at Sears. With top brands and our price match guarantee, if you find a better price, challenge the call and we'll match it. Plus, give you 10% of the difference. After further review, awesome.
Come into Sears to get an LG 47-inch 3D HD TV, a 3D Blu-ray player, plus four pairs of 3D glasses, all for just $999.99. Perfect for everyday use with the added excitement of 3D.
It's the ultimate football experience, only at Sears.
See store for price match policy and offer details. Prices may vary.
Change your oil regularly to protect your engine and do it yourself to save a lot of money. Now at AutoZone, get a 5-plus quart jug of Pennzoil conventional motor oil and an STP oil filter for just $12.99. That's a $19.99 sale price plus a $7 mailing rebate. See store for restrictions and details. A complete oil change for just $12.99. Protect your engine the right way with the trusted advice and great prices at AutoZone, because parts are just part of what we do.
Get in the zone!
AutoZone.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
Fox News is fair and balanced. It's sleepy. Healthcare is a privilege and not a right. We can work together to wipe out the middle class. Now when I count to three and snap my fingers, you'll awake confused and vote Republican.
First Chip with Tony Triviano
on 1310 WDTW.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work with First Chip with Tony Triviano.
22 minutes after 8 o'clock, David Holtz again, the executive director of Progress Michigan. The human toll, the human toll. You know, I, David, I certainly, after reading your blog, and I want to direct people to the website and read your blog post titled "A Friend Lost," because I think that there's you know, there's a lot of interesting stuff there. But you know, there's also, you know, some interesting questions. One of them is, can anyone really doubt that's true given Michigan's economy? And of course, you know, that question supports basically the story that you just shared with us. How can there not be a connection, David, between this torturous life Jan was trying to navigate and what was happening, the political reality of what was happening in the state of Michigan. There has to be a connection there, David. There has to be.
Yeah, and really, Jan's was someone who was very, very, very proud. You know, she lived a dignified life. She wanted to work. She was hardly a bleeding heart liberal, that's for sure. She was a conservative. She didn't have a lot of political views, but she had a conservative approach to things. But she found herself in a situation where her value was diminished because she was in a state with terrible unemployment, a tough job market, and she was 58 years old and a single woman. And it was too much for her to overcome, both in terms of being able to find work, and it was very difficult for her to overcome emotionally because she had pride. You know, I can't get inside anyone's head, let alone Jan's, on what really goes into through your mind when you commit suicide. I mean, it's such an awful, dramatic thing to do, such a final statement of some kind. But I do know, based on the conversations that she's had with me and her friends and everything, that this weight of being without work was weighing heavily on her, and it could not have been anything but a huge factor in her depression. And it really, you know, she didn't probably do all the right things. Maybe many things she did were wrong in terms of dealing with it. But the fact remains that she was a 50-year-old single woman who couldn't find work. And I have to believe, just, you know, we all have not just seen, you know, the data and the stories coming out of, you know, policy decisions, but we have seen in comments to stories and in other blog posts and everything, a lot of other women and a lot of other people are in a similar situation right now. People with multiple degrees, people with children who are really left with very few options.
Well, you know, it's very difficult because as I think about, again, we talked about October 1st very briefly, what's going to happen with benefits. You begin to wonder, people, the long-term unemployed, the people that we no longer even count as being unemployed, the people that have stopped looking for work. And now we add to that burden, especially to families where that money is being taken away. And then we have something unfairly placed upon these folks where they're now going to be basically forced to justify to the nth degree the benefits that they are getting, and ignoring the, you know, reality that, you know, somebody may have a decent car, David, but that just means that, you know, they didn't sell it yet. It doesn't mean that they're sitting on a pile of cash. You know, somebody may find themselves, you know, 18 or more months into a personal downturn, but still have some assets only because, you know, they have been judicious in the way they have been going about, you know, cashing them in to keep them afloat. What is it? Where is the disconnect, David, between, you know, the challenges, the reality of the challenges people are going through, and this idea that there are just people that are sucking off the tit of society because they have nothing better to do?
Well, there are probably a lot of answers to that really good question. One of them is, you know, it isn't the unemployed and, you know, the people on assistance who are making political contributions to politicians in Lansing or crowding your dirt table at their fundraisers. These are folks who are not political movers and shakers. And what that says to me, and I'm sure it says to you and a lot of others, those of us who are in a position to be able to help organize people, that we have to, I'm more motivated and than ever to try and help and be part of the movement to give voice to regular folks out there who can't write the checks to politicians, who aren't big corporate CEOs, who don't have that influence. Their voices have to be heard too. And one of the things that I think is important, for example, is, you know, just for people who are, imagine, I mean, if you're unemployed, you've got a lot of stresses in your life, and one of them is, you know, trying to deal with a system, you know, that may be complicated and take up a lot of time in order to even be able to access help. At the same time, you're out looking for work. And so, you know, I'm talking with some of my brothers and sisters in labor and others about seeing if we couldn't organize unemployed people about around improving the unemployment system, for example. And if anyone out there, for example, is unemployed and has some ideas about how to improve the system or is having trouble with the unemployment system, they could just email me at david@progressmichigan.org, and we'll get you involved in this program. I think we're going to be moving forward if we get enough interest in it.
Well, that sounds very exciting. Let me know how I can help promote that and get involved in that. Obviously, you know, David, on a daily basis, I hear from people that have been affected by the economy. I talked to a man yesterday. His name's Marvin, who now is working two jobs that almost equal his former one job. He had a great attitude. I mean, he was a great guy. We had a wonderful conversation on the phone. But, you know, he reaches out to me, you know, to help me, you know, remember we were talking about Walmart, which is what the entree was to his email he sent me. But, you know, he was so excited to be, you know, involved in it, even in the conversation. I think that people want to feel included. I think that after a while, David, people start to feel like they're that sense of self-worth when you're not getting up and going to work every day, or sometimes it's the exact opposite of that, where you're working two jobs and so many hours you don't even have time to really know who you are anymore. I mean, you know, that happens too, David. This is a very complicated time.
It is, and it's really, I mean, this is changing the way America and Michigan are able to provide for a good life, and it's really creating a new, completely new society of huge divisions. And it you know, the thing that is,
and we got it. And we got to get to the break, David. I'm just going to have to ask you to wrap it up.
Sure. The thing that's striking is there are some people out there, the haters, who would attack the unemployed because they're unemployed.
And they have, sadly enough. Progressmichigan.org. Dave, I'm going to give you a call a little later on today, something I need to talk to you about. But thank you so much for being with us. We got to get to the break. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at some problems on 696 eastbound at Woodward. We have an accident there on the shoulder. 696 westbound at Mound, there's an accident there on the shoulder. Same goes for one right before Van Dyke. So lots of problems on 696. 275 northbound between Ann Arbor Road and the 96 M14 interchange. You're going to find some delays there. Also, looking at an accident to survive southbound at 8 Mile. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, isolated showers before noon, mostly cloudy, a high in the mid-60s. Tonight, showers likely, maybe a storm in there as well, cloudy, a low in the lower 50s. And then tomorrow, the winds pick up, showers are likely, mainly before 2 o'clock, cloudy, but the temperatures are going to drop to the upper 40s by 3 p.m. Currently, it's foggy and 54 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More of First Shift coming up after this.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Truppiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. For millions of workers across America, family paychecks have declined or stagnated to such an extent that real median household income was lower in 2010 than it was in 1997, according to Census Bureau numbers. The AFL-CIO says it's time to end the failed economic experiment of lowering taxes on the rich, dismantling regulations on business, and following NAFTA-like global trade policies, because that has only led to an unequal economy that only works for the very richest Americans.
American Federation of Teachers President Randy Weingarten says there's an urgent need for Congress to pass President Obama's American Jobs Act. With a record 46.2 million Americans in poverty, Weingarten says there's a terrible impact on families, kids, and schools. Weingarten says that with families struggling to find jobs and to overcome economic hardship, schools can be a source of stability for families and communities and a place where students and their parents can get the services they need to have a chance at success. The AFT says nearly two-thirds of school staff across the country report they are regularly seeing kids having trouble in school because of hunger. So to end high joblessness and reduce poverty, the AFL-CIO says we need family-sustaining jobs, more investments in our futures, and fair taxation. Who would applaud a mass firing of workers? Jesse Russell lets us know.
When President Ronald Reagan made the decision to fire thousands of air traffic controllers in August of 1981 for continuing a strike, few saw it as a reason to celebrate. Tuesday night, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie gave a speech at Reagan Library and gave his recollection of the 1981 incident. And when he mentioned the mass firing by Reagan, the audience broke out in applause. The cheering comes at a time when the unemployment rate stands at 9% in the United States, and budget cuts by Republicans have resulted in more than 500,000 additional job losses for public sector employees.
Will the third time be the charm for R.J. Reynolds tobacco workers seeking union representation? A secret ballot vote will be held at two of the company's North Carolina plants to determine if workers want to be represented by the International Association of Machinists. The vote is expected at the end of October. This newscast made possible in part by the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising, a one-hour radio documentary produced by Workers Independent News in conjunction with WORT. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after the hour, as promised, some issues that I need to get to. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. I need to walk through this stuff first, though. 888-552-3595. A four-bill package introduced in the House yesterday targets union members in a variety of ways, including imposing fines for striking public employees and changes to the automatic deduction of union dues for wages of private employees. H.R. 5023 would impose a fine on public employees equal to a day's pay for each day the employee strikes. The bargaining representative of the public employee would be fined $5,000 per day for each day the employee strikes. The money would be deducted from the employee's pay and directed to the general fund. The bill's sponsor, Representative Lisa Posthumous Lyons, a Republican from Alto, Michigan, said that it is illegal for public employees to strike and thinks the penalties are fair. And she bases that on what? She went on to say, I felt that it was important to address this head-on before any incidents occurred and be proactive. Really? Really? Is that, that's what you thought? Okay, Lisa. Not a problem. A brief strike by the faculty at Central Michigan University and solicitations of a strike by the leadership of the Michigan Education Association earlier this year spurred her legislation, she said. Quoting her again, I am certainly not anti-union, which is a bunch of bullcrap. And there are definitely a role and a value for unions, she said. Ms. Lyons said her bill is balanced because it could also impose a $5,000 per day fine on the public employer if it imposed an illegal lockout. Yes, because that's going to happen. HB 20 or 5024, the one we were just talking about was 5023. HB 5024 would modify laws regarding picketing so that the event could not obstruct the entrance to a place of employment or roadways. It would also prohibit the picketing of a private residence by any means. The business or person being picketed could seek an injunction from their local circuit court. If a person has been found in violation previously, they can be fined $1,000 per day, and the union organization that assisted the picketing would be assessed a $10,000 fine for each day of the violation. But we're not done. There are two more. HB 5025 would require written consent of an employee to have his or her employer deduct union dues from their wages. The bill's sponsor, Rep. Earl Polsky of Jackson, again a Republican, said it's healthy from a financial literacy perspective for employees to look at what they're paying and consider if they are getting value for what they pay. I am getting so angry reading this bullcrap. Union members are still forced to pay their union dues. Still forced. Yeah, that's nice. But would have the option of having it deducted or paying it themselves. Too many folks, he went on to say, look at their take-home pay, and that's all they ever look at. They don't think about what else they are paying for. Do they really do that? Come on, folks. No one does that. The fourth bill, HB 5026, would eliminate language that an employer in a labor dispute has to state in an advertisement seeking employment for the job sought are to replace the workers involved in a dispute. Ray Holman of the UAW Local 6000, the largest state employees union, said they adamantly oppose the bills. Of course they would. Mr. Holman said, let me quote him, I see it as a trend attacking collective bargaining rights. It's uncalled for, unnecessary, and divisive, and it does nothing to create one job. Mr. Holman said that the work with the administration and the legislation on common sense solutions, but these toxic bills do not help. So have you guys figured out yet, especially the more conservative of those listening to my show this morning, this Republican legislature could not be any more anti-union if they tried, and they're trying. They're trying their hardest. They're trying their very hardest to dismantle labor unions as we know them, to make them irrelevant by law. They're trying to legislate away decades worth of what we fought for. I swear to God, my blood is just boiling right now. It is just boiling right now. The audacity of these goddamn Republicans who act so holier than thou. How are we going to hold them responsible? When are we going to start gathering and doing what needs to be done to stop this bullcrap? And they do it with smiles on their face. They're rubbing our nose in it. Do you not get that? If you are a member of organized labor, you should be outraged this morning. Absolutely outraged. And then the governor decides that, you know what, he's going to deal with state workers this way. He's going to just not fill 367 vacant positions, forcing those that are working to work harder. He claims it'll save $50 million in savings and announced that he's going to put most of this on the corrections department. Although he says the plan includes no immediate layoffs, he has left the possibility open that if the state and the unions couldn't agree on concessions before Saturday's start of the next fiscal year, but most unionized employees would be required to take at least 4 unpaid furlough days a year as well. The unilateral action was taken because state employee unions wouldn't reopen the contracts for 2012. Why should they? And have only been willing to negotiate economic terms for the next contract, which starts in 2013. Makes sense to me. Governor Rick Snyder said earlier he saw furlough days as a one-time fixes, not the type of structural change that are needed. This is just wrong. This is just wrong. And it's not enough. They are going to just keep taking and taking and taking and taking and taking. They don't care about you. They don't care whether or not you can pay your bills. They don't care if you can make your mortgage. They don't care if you can put food on the table. They don't care if you can afford your medication. They don't care if you have special needs children. They don't care if you have children at all for that sake. They don't care about you. The Republican Party of the state of Michigan is hell-bent on undoing everything that makes sense for their own personal profit. And go ahead and challenge me on that. Give me an example how any one of the four bills I mentioned benefits society. Come on, give it to me. Nothing I mentioned in those four bills is a threat. Not a thing, not a simple single thing is a threat to the workplace, to society. Not a one of them. Trying to be proactive? Saying you're pro-union? How is this pro-union? Somebody want to explain that to me? This isn't proactive, it's offensive. And how much longer are you going to allow this to go on? We can ill afford for Republican rule to go unchecked. Now, we're stuck with these jamokes. No question that's true. We're stuck with them. But that does not mean we have to tolerate it. But you can't sit with your hands politely folded on your lap and say, well, geez, we're just going to have to wait for 2012 to do something about this. That's not going to solve the problem, because by 2012, who'll care at that point? Michigan, let me remind you, was the only state to lose population in the last census. We will continue to lose population in the next census. You want to know why? The Republicans are doing their very best to push, seriously, shove people out of the state of Michigan. They want them gone. What kind of people do they want to leave? Well, of course, the most needy. The unemployed. The poor. They want them gone. They don't want to deal with them. Let somebody else's state deal with them, not the state of Michigan. That's not how we do things here anymore. We are a red state now. We are a red state. You should be outraged by what I just shared with you. Let's not forget that they want to send you to jail for sending an email from your work email account. Send you to jail for a year. Fine you $1,000. Right to work? That's laughable. What will it take? What will be the final straw for you? Or are you afraid? Is that what it is? Are you afraid? I mean, I kind of understand at some level why you would be. You don't want to lose the little bit of job you have left. I get that. I don't agree with it. I certainly don't support it. I get up every day. I could lose my job tomorrow. I don't know. What's it going to take? What is it going to take? What can I do to engage you in the fight? We got more to do on the other side. By the way, the governor's got his hands full with his own party, too. God bless him. Wow, I'm outraged. Maybe I'm just resigned to the fact that it's just not going to stop, but I'm not going to sit by and just let it happen. Greg and Troy, you're up next. Stay right where you're at. We'll take the break. 888-552-3595. Stay with us. I'm Tony Trupiano. First Shift continues after this.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Middle-class workers like you shouldn't be bearing all the burden. You work too hard for someone to ask you to pay more so that somebody who's making millions or billions of dollars can pay less.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Recently on First Shift.
Steve Cooper with the We Party Patriots. How important do you think social media is to organize labor today?
Incredibly important. I think you're seeing galvanized movements globally, and it's taking hold, obviously, in the States as well. The thing with social media is that it has to be a necessary component because you know that the next guy is doing it, and if he's not yet doing it, he's going to be doing it, so you want to make sure you beat him to that punch.
So that hashtag #OneU, when I put that at the end of a tweet, what does that do with regard to getting my message out to more people?
Well, the hashtags, they essentially act as a kind of filing cabinet within Twitter. You can now follow a sort of stream of union consciousness, and the key to that happening is everybody knowing where to gather, essentially where to meet and talk about this. We're trying to provide that sort of unique voice to get more and more people involved.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Unions work.
One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
10 minutes before the top of the hour, I am Tony Trupiano. No, I did not calm down at all during the break. In fact, I'm a little more uptight than I was even before I slid into the break. This idea that we somehow can fashion a better society if we follow conservative rule is laughable. It's laughable. It's completely laughable. This idea that if we don't have government take out union dues and somebody's paycheck, that it somehow makes them more fiscally responsible. If that's the case, then let's stop taking out child support payments. How's that? The government's not going to take out anything on anybody's check, then maybe judgments, you know, those legal judgments that we guarantee checks. Let's stop taking that money out. Let's not just pick on unions. Let's just make it clear. If I got a judgment against you, big shot, you can't take it out of my paycheck anymore. Isn't that fair? Oh, we wouldn't want to do that. Oh, no, because the job creators won't get their cash that way. Let's go to the phones. 888-552-3595. Greg in Troy. Greg, welcome to First Shift. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Tony.
Good morning.
I just listened to your rant, and congratulations. I think you finally turned the corner. I think it's about time. Liberals and Democrats, especially those that have a forum, finally started calling these Republicans out for what they really are. Stop using the, and I don't mean you in particular, liberals in general, that from the president right on down, we are so sick. Those of us out here that understand what's going on, that don't have a microphone in front of us, have been waiting for so long to start putting these little people back in their place and having someone speak up and call these people out for the, and I won't say it because it's a radio, for you know what they are. And I just want to encourage you to keep it up. Tell these people what they are. Tell them every day. Tell the people out there that ignorantly vote for these people that these people have one agenda, and that is to destroy your life, your family's life, and the country.
For profit. for profit.
Thank
you see, there's always money involved,
oh,
Greg.
Yeah.
Because all they are money whores. You know, they're all money whores, and all they that's what they are.
Thank you. All these people care about is themselves and money. And they will take the country right down the toilet, and they've basically done that. They've moved way over in that direction. And if you're too stupid to understand that, and you keep listening to Fox News and vote for these idiots, that the only part of this that bothers me, I almost wish the Republicans would just have it all their way so the people that keep supporting them would finally feel the consequences of their own stupidity.
But, Greg, I'm going to have to end it there. I'm not so sure. Sadly, they would even then. I'm serious. I don't even think even then they would get it. I think if the Republicans pulled up in front of their houses and said, we're going to take all your stuff and we're going to burn your house down and we're going to take your kids away from you, they would be optimistic and say, well, you know what? Maybe one day I'll be the one pulling up in the truck and taking the stuff. 888-552-3595. Let's go to Jim in Redford. Jim, welcome to First Shift. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, I was just wanted to pick up on what you guys were talking about.
Absolutely.
In my estimation, the Republican Party is really made up of a collection of the stingy, the selfish, the greedy, the self-righteous, the hypocritical absolutist, and those who will tolerate them. Fundamentally, they're afraid, and they think that money will remediate that fear. And I think this is the character of the Republican Party. I mean, if you get right down to the really core values that they have, that's what they are, and that's why they have them.
Well, they have values. They certainly do. They don't have morals, though, Jim, and that's, of
course...
Well,
that's true. Yeah, that's absolutely right. They have values. They're twisted, distorted values, but they have them. You know, it's like saying Satan has values. Well, he does, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, it's the question of morals. You know, and Jim, it goes back to what we're talking to David Holtz about, this fundamental idea that you get up in the morning and you go to work. Listen, you know, the majority of people aren't looking to get rich. The majority of people just want to be able to take care of themselves and those around them, right? That's all we want. I mean, inherently, that's what most people want.
Well, one thing you should think about, in order for them to be dominant, you must be submissive. We outnumber them. We should understand that.
Well, we do understand that. The problem is, Jim, and I'm going to have to let you go with this, the problem
is... it's a matter of motivation.
It is a matter of motivation, absolutely. We had this conversation and last night at Tracy's Cafe in Warren. You know, I had a wonderful woman show up, beautiful woman, actually, shows up and she says, you know, after the 08 elections, we had all this momentum going. We couldn't keep people engaged. Why? Why? There was lots of stuff to do. Why are they not engaged? Because they're lazy. Because they're lazy. All right, 888-552-3595. Joe in East Point. Joe, it was a pleasure to meet you last night. Thanks for punching in this morning.
Yeah, well, I said I wasn't going to call. It was a pleasure seeing you also.
Well, you're far more handsome than I am, so it was much better for me to see you, I assure you.
That's not a void. A lot of things I say, you can't see me, but it's tongue-in-cheek, you know? But this is not tongue-in-cheek. I want to know where our Democratic lawmakers are in Lansing. Why are we talking about it? Why aren't they on the floor being actually forced and carted out, man, screaming and ranting about what these Republicans are trying to do?
Well, some of them have done that. Senator Gretchen Whitmer has done that. I mean, she has rant and raved, and she's been good. You know, I don't know where she's at this morning, but in the past, she's been real good at this stuff.
Yeah, well, I'm going to leave your listeners with this. You know, history repeats itself. And there was a point in history when somebody went to the king and they said, you know, the people are restive. They don't have any bread. Somebody said, let them eat cake, right?
Yeah.
And we know what happened after that, don't we? I hope it doesn't come to that. But you heard me last night. It just may. And thanks.
No, thank you, Joe. Thank you. And Joe's a very passionate guy, and he's ready. By the way, Radford, he's ready to roll up his sleeves and fight somebody if he has to.
I guess so. He took off in a hurry. I think he's going to fight him right now.
And he would, too. He would. He's a great guy. Very, very, very nice man. Really pleased to have met him last night. It ceases, you know, it never ceases to amaze me what these Republicans will try to do. It just never ceases to amaze me at some level. Folks, I guess I got to ask the question just one more time. And again, I don't have time for last word. I got to ask the question one more time. What will it take? Maybe we'll just let that be our last word will be what will it take. All right. Yowza, we're done for today. Listen, I want to thank Jeff and Todd and Anthony for all the work they do on the other side of the wall that I'm sitting at. Without them, this show does not happen. And so thank you very much, gentlemen. To the audience, who is amazing, to everybody that came out to see me talk last night, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And, of course, if you need me off the air, Tony@thetonyshow.org, Tony@thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well.
The forecast from the National Weather
Good morning.
Service.
We got some accidents out there on 696 eastbound at Woodward. One has a shoulder block. Another one eastbound on 696 at the Lodge has the right lane blocked. 696 westbound at Mound. Traffic is backed up, a little ways because of an accident there on the shoulder. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly cloudy, maybe an isolated shower before noon, a high near 66. Tonight, showers likely, possibly a thunderstorm in there too. Cloudy, a low in the lower 50s. And then tomorrow, showers are likely, cloudy. The temperature is going to drop to around 48 degrees by 3 p.m. Northwest winds gusty around 28 miles per hour. Currently, it's foggy and 54 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast.